Want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamped envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C., 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Don and Mike, there'll be no mollycoddling.
Will you see if your mom can give my resume to Dennis Phillips? Because if I could get in a Broadway show, then I would have done it all. Film, television, and theater.
The only thing left to be radio. That's just for ugly people.
Hello, you're in the air.
Hello.
Yes.
Hi. Did any of you guys see that the Quentin Tarantino film yet?
Yes, I did.
The Kill Bill?
Yes, I did.
Kill Bill?
Kill Bill.
Kill Bill. I thought that movie stunk, and I just wish Quentin Tarantino would just take his 16 minutes of fame and just go away, Quentin Tarantino, go
calm
away.
Calm yourself, sir.
Yes.
So what do you think of the movie?
I love Uma Thurman. No matter what she does, she's always good. But, I mean, as far as seeing Kill Bill is concerned, I'd rather watch Don Geronimo piss on a radiator and watch
Stop. You can't say piss.
But can I say
No, you can't say that either. What's wrong with you?
The Don and Mike Show.
This episode deals with the inappropriateness of racial invectives and contains coarse racial slurs. Viewer discretion is advised.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Hey, kids, could I talk to you for about 30 seconds? This is Elvis Presley. I ask you to listen. Now, here's a song.
And yes, the rumors are true. They smoke, they drink, they use bad language in this company. They're extremely rich, and they can flash more bling than most posses in this room. Rock stars they are, and God bless them for that.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe.
Welcome to our show.
Hey, Don and Mike. Lord, you don't know to fill a book.
It's the Don and Mike Show, and they'll say what they wish.
Where else would you rather be than right here, right now?
Now, don't be alarmed. Why? Because they're only carrying toy guns.
Oh, dear. They're plastic. They're just...
No need to...
It's a Halloween costume.
Based on a true story, he was a neo-Nazi with one true enemy. Himself, a man of faith, a man of hate, and a soul torn apart. Viewer discretion advised.
Beware.
The gun may be fake, but the sentiment is genuine.
Got right. It.
Good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Shannon. Hello.
Hello.
And all the ships at sea, back after a busy morning sneaking around the U.S. Capitol building, it's Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Yeah.
Hello, thank you for listening to everybody. Don and Mike Show, a new episode on this Thursday. Right, Rocktober 30-erd.
Right.
And here's the phone number from anywhere in America. See the shining sea, and I do mean sea. How you doing, Mrs. Christie? Phone number is 877-365-3636 from Canada. There he is. Thank you, Rob. 800-636-1067 and from Washington, D.C., 202-432-1067. You notice I was doing that while I was writing something down.
That's pretty cool.
Multitasker. Just rambling the regular pablum, and there he is.
Hi, Don and Mike. Buzz Burbank here.
Oh, hi there, Paul.
Is anyone listening?
Hey, what happened?
Shut up! Did you wash your ass today?
Someone call for a doctor?
Broadcast journalism.
Okay, here we go. Here we go. What?
I just saying broadcast journalism. That's on my mind after what we've been watching for the last 15 minutes.
Let's get to that in a second. First, I just want to point out, no one has a winning ticket today.
Yes.
This is a category that, you know, everyone...
It's a brand new category?
Yeah, you know, I know you guys all enjoy playing the Don and Mike Impossible Contest, and you like going out and collecting the Don and Mike Impossible Contest cards. You collect them, you trade them, you swap them with your friends.
Absolutely.
And you win, you know, yachts and trips around the world.
Mm-hmm.
Well, today the yoke is on us, the egg's on our face, because who would have known? Now, this was not even printed in the Impossible Contest tickets, with all the things that could go wrong here in the studio.
Right.
I'll explain this to you very briefly. On the occasions that the people call up and they get through and they get screened if we're talking about a particular topic.
Right.
You know, Joe. Doughy-headed Joe.
Sweet doughy-headed Joe.
He's back in the other room, the nerve center, and he types it into his computer and then it comes up on my screen right here.
Right.
Well, for approximately the last, what is today, Thursday? This will be Monday, Tuesday. The last 4 days, this computer, well, it's not even the computer's fault. It's the program. It's something called Assistant Producer.
Is it the software?
Well, here's the problem. For 4 days now, it's not worked. And we have identified the problem. And it's not on the winning ticket. Now, here's the engineer. Tony.
Looking exasperated.
The engineer, Tony, outside. Welcome to my
Tony
world.
Tony is looking exasperated outside the window.
Listening and waiting.
Welcome to my world, Tony. It's called... We do a show every day at 3 o'clock. You know, to work. Hi, Joe. But before I give you the winning info, here's Joe.
It was only broken for a day yesterday, and then I had the guys. They've been working on it for an hour.
Yeah.
We don't know what's wrong with it.
Was it only yesterday, really?
Yeah.
Oh well, then still broken yesterday. Still broken today, though.
Well, I put it on my list of things to do to get.
Did Tony just enter Wendelland for a minute there? Was that what I was doing?
Either way, listen. This is not on the ticket.
No, but what's funny is not that it's been broken, but. The thing that's in the way of the solution.
Now, that's what I'm trying to get to.
Right. Ah.
Okay, so I apologize. It's only been, 36 hours, 24, whatever, since it's been brought yesterday and today.
Mm-hmm. Previously on 24.
They're trying to fix it. They realize to fix the software, to say who's calling, that they have to get into the computer. And as it turns out, nobody knows the password.
There you go. So nobody's a big winner today.
So we didn't even have that in the tickets for the impossible contest.
Who could have
known? Look for it in next year's contest. But
now forever, Rob, it'll always be there.
Wendell knows the password but is on vacation. It is thought that Mike Friedman, ex-chief engineer, knows the password, but he no longer works here.
And he is unreachable also.
Well, they left him a message.
And here's the thing. Here's now why I feel... that I should bear some of the wrath for this. That I guess no one has anybody tried to get a hold of Wendell to ask him what the password is?
Yeah, they have.
They have?
He's not answering.
Okay.
Well, that's where he's all the on vacation. I'm firing my gun.
Here's the thing. And I apologize if I'm the one that pushed you over the edge today. I'm just doing a closed circuit broadcast to our engineer, Wendell Hall. I was on the AOL today, looking at my mail, and got instant message. And I didn't recognize the person's name. It was not someone on my buddy's list. Not that Wendell's not my buddy, but it was just this. It said...
Wendell's everybody's buddy.
Said message from, and then a weird thing, and I looked at it for a second, and it said, "Hey, dumbass." So I looked at it for a good, 5 seconds and thought, well, now this is either some listener effing with me or this is some listener effing with me or this is some listener effing with me. So,
exactly.
So before I write back, I just go, forget, it's not worth it. You know, life's too short. And I click off. And
why would he greet you like
hold
that?
Hold on. Just as I'm clicking off, it goes bling with another one. It goes, "It's me, Wendell."
Ah.
But by the time it had said, "Bling, it's me, Wendell," I was already out of the conversation.
Ah.
So I can tell you, I can testify to the fact that Wendell Hall is reachable. Our engineer is reachable.
Okay. He's at a computer terminal somewhere. Doesn't he normally go out west, they'd say?
I don't know.
I think what he really does on his vacations is that he goes out west to shoot bazookas.
He has a buddy, I think, in like Montana.
Yes.
Is that right? Somewhere where the...
Wyoming, someplace like that.
Or he spends it at the transit.
Here's something we could try, because if I know Wendell, the password starts with the letter F.
And here's Charlie Broyhill.
Wendell's at home right now. He is asleep. I spoke to him about an hour ago.
Ladies and gentlemen, the great communicator.
All right, so you...
Speaking of communicating, how come we're just now finding out there's a problem with the software if it was bad yesterday?
Exactly.
Because it could have been fixed today.
Who did I tell yesterday?
Not me.
I don't know.
I didn't say anything. I thought it would fix itself.
Right, so...
You know what? This is a dysfunctional family right now.
Yeah.
We have to improve the lines of communication.
I told somebody.
It wasn't me.
All right, it wasn't you. Well, then but someone should have trickled it back to you, right? Shouldn't it trickle back to you at some point?
Sure. Right.
Doesn't everything roll downhill around here? All right, well, then I'll take the bullet for this one. That because it's broken, I should have come to you.
And just whenever something's broken in here, tell me.
All right. Well, how's the engineer Tony doing? The guy.
Tony looked bad, Charlie. Tony looked exasperated. That was scary to see Tony. I haven't seen Tony like that.
Hey, the engineer. Wendell's not the chief engineer. Wendell's the acting chief engineer.
I don't know that either.
An engineer.
And there's another guy.
Is this a junior bridal suite?
I don't know. There's another guy from the corporate engineering tier who's working on stuff here at our radio station. And I guess he's a little sensitive about the impossible contest.
The whole cluster thing.
He's a good guy.
Right. Okay. Well, thanks, Charlie.
Thanks, Charlie.
Bye-bye. That's what Charlie is really best at, is coming
in. Take care, Fatso.
Coming in and...
I can't resist now. I'm sorry.
He comes in and he says a lot by not saying a lot.
Yes.
He truly...
Charlie's indication was nobody let him know, and he could have gotten on the case quicker if somebody let him know.
Well, if only I would have known today.
But you're maintaining the fact that you did tell somebody yesterday.
Oh, I knew. I should have filled out a discrepancy report.
I believe I don't want to rat out Joe... Because I ain't a weasel.
Right.
But I believe that Joe was in on this.
Is it time once again for the second time for Joe to be thrown out of the bus?
No.
Beginning of the show, too. You're taking the bullet this time?
On the bus.
You felt really good about Joe the last couple of days. You saved his life twice.
He may prove useful someday.
So anyway.
You get a haircut today, Rob?
Yeah, isn't it horrible?
We didn't have a winner in the impossible contest today.
No.
Malcolm wasn't at the barber shop. I know
your barber,
where you're going
Malcolm,
with this.
Malcolm yeah. X.
Malcolm Dean Justice, my barber, was out until
Malcolm
three.
In the middle.
Well, I hope he's in next time. And to assure that, perhaps we could all bow our heads in prayer.
Rob, Mike has made an excellent idea. Let's bow our heads in prayer now.
Let's bow our heads.
Let's pray that the software gets fixed. Let's all bow our heads.
I've already prayed.
Come on, bow your head. Your head. Yeah, there's that. Look at that.
There,
you know what that might? That looks like a solar flare. On the top of his head. Right on the top of his head.
Oh, man.
You are going bald, Rob.
I wish Malcolm was back because he knows all the tricks to cover up.
You know that? I'll tell you. You know what a good day, a good start to the day is? Both Fatso and a baldy joke in the same day.
How could it get better?
Now, we do have we have the count here on the guy in the basketball game last night, the Sacramento Kings guy.
Oh, good.
At least from what we could see on TV, because remember the guy in question, the guy Jeff Christie, he's not a hold on, Robbie, not yet, because the Broyhill will be our first.
Buzz is raising his hand.
Our first witness. Yes, Buzzy.
I have a new nugget about Doug Christie, as a matter of fact. According to the King's website, he also lives with his mother-in-law.
Oh, it just keeps getting better.
And I've got some stuff about him, too, via Charlie, that I heard.
Good.
About him.
So what was the total, Don? Did you
hold on? A phone call first.
All right.
We'll lead right into that. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Fernando.
Hey, Don. It's Fernando. I was listening to Grant Napier. He comes on after you guys out here in Sacramento. And someone asked him about it. And he was saying, oh, those fat bastards, they don't know what they're talking about. They don't know what a good marriage is. They should just leave them alone. They've been, how many times have they gotten
okay,
in trouble
listen,
for
we
smoking
have,
pot?
We understand. Here's the deal. First, let me tell you, Fernando. You look marvelous. Part of our new mindset when we came back with our new deal was that we weren't going to go down in the gutter unless we had to.
Right.
This guy, Grant Napier,
annoying.
He is a small fish in a small pond.
Mm-hmm.
He does a radio station, a show on a radio station. The show is on after our show. Good for him. Mind your own effing business. Yeah, I got arrested for pot. It's not a secret. It was 5 goddamn years ago. That's the best you got on me. If you're gonna get on the radio and argue my position about a public figure for the Sacramento Kings being pussy whipped by his wife, and all you can
which I think we need to reiterate,
all you
is a comedy topic anyway.
And all you can do because you're such an ass kiss for the ball club is to attack me, and that's the best you can do? Well, I'll tell you this. I don't know anything about Grant Napier. I don't hear his show, as most of America doesn't. Except for the people in Sacramento. And I'll tell you this. I don't know if he's married. I don't know what. But if he wants to talk about marriage...
You know what I'm thinking right
now? I got 22 years. You want to put yours against mine, pal? Let's do it.
I can't believe who we're talking about, and I can just see those phones lighting up right now.
They're going to go nuts.
Mike, we're going to ignore it. But I wanted to address it. Mm-hmm. I see the call. It was a conscious decision here to take the call.
Right.
And I don't want to drag the show down like we used to. But
especially talking about the guy that is so irrelevant.
You know,
so you guys rule him out of here. See ya.
See ya. Right there. He got what he wanted.
Right.
Mr. Satisfied Sacramentan.
Well,
You know, honest to God, I hate to bring it up again, but man, there are people in that town. It was yesterday, the whole thing, when we started getting it, when it went negative. And I said to Joe, I was outside, and I said, I knew what would happen. I knew we would have a fun time talking about this guy and how he's pussy, which is funny.
And
we don't really care about the guy, but it's just funny to read about him.
I'm afraid, being as every time he gets a bug up his butt about our show, he has to mention the fact that I got popped 5 years ago.
Yeah, that's all he's got.
For having two joints on me, which is public record, which I've never denied to anybody listening to this show.
Right.
I'm afraid we're going to have to do a little recon on this guy.
Right.
Because I'm pretty sure that he has done something in his life that he ain't thrilled about.
Right.
Something
exactly.
That if it comes up on our show that they say, what about Grant Napier? I can say, oh, you mean the guy who touched kids?
Right.
Okay? So just shut up. And all you dummies out there calling with us, shut up.
Yeah, I mean, lay off. I mean, I want to reiterate.
Part of our thing that
especially
we really...
Especially to the people of Sacramento. This thing yesterday, and please remember this, was first and foremost funny when we read it.
And it's funnier today with the new information we have about
this
guy.
Please remember, everybody, funny. We don't care about... We're not arguing a point here.
No.
We're not arguing anything about the quality of his marriage. We're not involved in that. We are talking about it being funny.
And
pussy whipped equals funny.
And last thing about these disc jockeys. We will pick our fights with disc jockeys. Please let us pick them. Okay?
Yeah, but I mean, what you have to understand about Sacramento and these people that call from Sacramento is they exist for it. And I'm not talking about everybody. I'm talking about that small group that calls our show that could give a rat's ass about laughing. What they want is they want a war. They want a battle. They want to fight all the time. They always have.
But we're not going to do that.
I know we're not going to do that. I want to make a point, though, that's what they want.
You know, maybe I shouldn't have...
They love it.
Because they wake up
every morning
maybe I
in
have,
Sacramento.
I shouldn't have taken the phone call.
And I'm sorry to go off on that.
Conscious decision to
but you know what?
Take the phone call.
This is funny. What's funny is it's so... Rob is tracking with me here because it is so... It's perfect.
All it is...
It's exactly what it's all about with you and me in Sacramento.
It's a whole... race of people in Sacramento that live to be unhappy. You know, you could make yourself read chapter 4 of my book.
Guys.
Who's looking out for you, Sacramento?
Don, let me tell you why we're both going crazy about this. We're both going crazy about this because we have found the perfect example.
Yeah.
You know, and here's how it goes, okay? It goes, great, phenomenal, funny bit falls into our lap. We take and roll with funny bit and have great time. Sacramento involved in funny bit, negative, has to be entered into it. Guy calls sitting in back of woman, doesn't like this, negative. Grant Napier feeding on his negative listeners, negative, negative, negative. Negative people want to call Don and Mike, positive show, to talk negative about Grant Napier.
Next day, Mike talked like Indian.
Right.
Oh, that felt good. Pardon me, and please...
I think we need a glass of absinthe from Mike.
Oh, please. Man. Please accept my apologies for getting that off my chest. I felt it was important to mention that. And I do that as a way of saying, please, you know, enough with that. You know, let's hear about the funny aspect of this guy.
Well,
and that's what we're doing.
You know, I only took the call so it was out there.
Right.
So that we got one out there and it was done and that's it, because that's what they were loading up with. So
yeah, and regarding the way you handled your S way back when, I was right there with you. And let me tell you something. You could write a primer on how to deal with that kind of situation when something comes up in your life. And I think anybody that would bring it up on his radio show is an absolute effing coward.
Is that the best you... I mean, really, if you're going to go after me, that's the best you can do? I mean, obviously, I guess my work effort is so superior that you couldn't pick a hole in my broadcast.
Right.
You couldn't pick a hole in the chemistry that I have with Mike or Buzz or the other guys. You got to go all the way back to something that, if it happened to a regular guy like you, Grant, would never have been noticed by anybody.
Right.
Not that what I did wasn't wrong and I didn't deserve. Listen, we're talking about being caught with a little bit of pot on me. Okay?
And you're talking also about accepting responsibility for the situation, which you did a hell of a lot earlier than you know, anybody has done that I've heard in recent memory that's gotten in that situation.
It's just a pisser when that's the only ammunition the guy has to toss back.
Yeah, and you know what it is? It is founded on absolute passionate, insane jealousy.
And the guy, the disc jockey, he's a shill for the ball club.
Absolutely.
He's the homer for the ball club.
He's the kind of guy in these markets that the last thing they want is a syndicated show to come to their radio station. They hate it. And they're because they're cowards, that we are very, very easy to pick on. And to bring that up is really just, you know, it's low rent stuff. But it's just not funny. Right. You know?
Well, yeah, I guess, you know, I don't know. You know, I don't know what's funny anymore. I don't know what's funny. But
what are we get on the
because,
do?
Because I want to, when we had all that bull crap with Westwood One, I really want to come back and say, we'd make a statement to say we're just going to do the show.
We should, and I think we address this type of stuff every once in a while. But I get back to the original point of we were having so much fun with this. Mm-hmm. And when it went south to me when, you know, people had to call. You were reading some facts that have been documented. You know, are some of them maybe not true? I don't care. Are some of them perhaps not spot on? But there are a lot of them. When you put them all together, it's a pretty funny picture. Mm-hmm. And it was pretty funny to think of this woman flying on the team plane, which is the one that stuck in my head.
And just last note for Grant Napier, I guess the reason that the story about the basketball player is news is because he's a prominent national figure. And I guess the reason that news of any fumblings and my fault on my personal life work their way 3,000 miles across the country to you. The only reason that would happen is because I'm a bigger deal than you are. Always been a bigger deal. Always. So eat me.
Now I'm laughing. Yeah, eat me, Grant Napier equals funny.
Right.
You know, I mean, we neither one of us have ever seen this guy.
Couldn't pick him out of a lineup. Couldn't,
absolutely don't tell know
you what
this
he,
guy.
Couldn't tell you what he sounds like. I mean, I'd love to have a battle with him. I tell you what, get your show syndicated.
Right.
Get your show syndicated.
Maybe we could hear it once in a while.
And, you know, maybe if, you know, then I can hear it and then I can critique it.
But if he's doing that kind of radio, I'm sure he will be around for a very long time. Yes, he will thrive in that environment.
Because it's safe. Because he could get on yesterday. And you got to know that, you know, KHTK is the king station. We know that here at WJFK. It's the Redskin station.
Right.
But it's called having balls. Like when we make fun of Dan Snyder and make all the midget jokes and Mike does the elf voice.
Let me marry my pocket.
And talk about, you know, getting the tar, the tar and the crap under my car and getting scratched and everything and right. How they suck. Nobody comes into us and says, hey, man, you know, here's what they did. They did come in and say, the Redskins are pretty pissed at you.
Mm-hmm. That was it.
And we said, okay.
Thank you.
We can live with that.
You know, I mean, a lot of stuff that's said on this show, we base it on, you know, what we hear around. And we're not the only ones that feel that way.
And the difference must be that, you know, if this nutty, crazy misery wife from the Kings,
misery,
you know, or somebody at the Sacramento Kings must have called us and said, my God, you're our flagship station. How can you do that? Well, they said, well, we got to get a really dumb guy to be our messenger.
Sick Grant Napier on.
Yeah, call Grant Napier, you know, because he'll tell the company line. Because he's so deep in their rectums that there's no way that he could climb out to see that it's weird that a guy's not allowed. Well, okay, let's bring in the new information before
yeah.
we.
Yeah, all right, very good.
Before we move on this, Charlie Broyhill will be the first witness we call today.
Excellent.
In our trial against Sacramento Kings, starting. is he a starter, Rob?
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe a
they
point
said he
forward.
Was starter yesterday. That's what they said.
Doug Christie. Oh, and also, listen, I know Mike is a little wound up today because of what happened in downtown D.C. today.
I'm just all shaken up, Doug.
Sure. Let me just walk you through the cycle of events. we can laugh about it now.
I'll tell you in a minute why I'm wound up about that.
About an hour and a half ago, everywhere you look on TV and everything, they're showing the Capitol and saying the gunman with a gun, they're evacuating the Capitol, they're mm-hmm. shutting down the Pentagon.
Gunman not apprehended yet.
Right. Meanwhile, I had turned on CNN rather than the local Washington ABC station, Channel 7. CNN said they caught the guy. They got it on a crawl on the bottom of the screen. I go back.
First thing he says to me when I walk into the office, you got the Channel 7 thing saying, searching for gunman. Uh-huh. And Dom walks in and said, they caught the guy. CNN had it 15 minutes ago.
Yeah.
And meanwhile, Channel 7's going, duh.
And then Channel 7, about 5 minutes after you walked in the office, said, we are just getting this report.
From CNN?
From CNN is confirming the man has been caught.
Now, what the F do they do in those newsrooms? What do they do?
Now, here's the thing. We're all for Homeland Security.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. They are saying on television and I don't know what the, I heard TOP at the news station a little bit going into the panic,
right?
Saying, you know, saying definitely a .38 revolver, possibly a rifle brought in to the Capitol by this guy. So the Kathleen Matthews, the anchor for Channel 7, Mike and I are watching this 10 minutes before we do the show.
Was it because you were there watching it before. Was it Kathleen Matthews?
Yeah. They brought her in. They brought her in halfway through the 2 o'clock hour to anchor the coverage.
Right.
So she's on the phone. And they,
get Matthews in here.
Because they don't have a camera down there yet.
No.
They've got one of their reporters on the telephone, and she's got a senator.
When they scream in the newsroom, they go, "We need another reader."
And she's got a senator who's just come out, just been moved out of his office, evacuated.
Right.
So they say, let's go live to it. She goes, "I'm here with Senator Bob, blah, 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 blah." And the guy says, "Yes, we were all asked to leave our offices. It was very orderly. It was nothing like 9/11. It was a toy gun, part of a Halloween costume."
Right.
And at that moment, you could just hear Kathleen Matthews, the anchor lady, even though she's not on TV,
right,
you could just hear this. Because suddenly the whole story was gone.
Yeah, there's absolutely nothing. I mean, really? And you said this in the office. Now, go back to regular programming, because now it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing. But no, now they go into their, which is really what's become most broadcast journalism's greatest skill. They go into their creation mode. Let's create some sort of difficulty then. If it's a plastic toy gun that was part of a Halloween costume,
we don't know for sure that it was part of a Halloween costume. That's what buzzes
up. Yeah,
that
actually, there were two guys. They were our people, two people. They were both in Halloween costumes, and one of them had a toy gun.
I hate to stop because
I didn't hear that part.
Right.
Because we didn't hear that part in the office.
We didn't.
Right. They were in costumes.
They were in costumes.
Jesus.
Capitol Police say the only reason that they went nuts and stepped up security and went on alert is because of, and I quote, "an unusual set of circumstances." And there you
have it. Don't want to slam Homeland Security, but it's fun to slam the journalists.
Halloween!
Don and Mike, Impossible Contest. If you had a Halloween gun at Capitol while Guy was wearing costume.
Jesus. Now, they better explain those circumstances.
Come on down for your suitcase full of $100 bills.
One of the great questions, like when they realized it was a plastic gun, was, "How did you find the response to be?" Duh.
And as we were watching, once the words "toy gun Halloween costume" were set on the air, the logo on the bottom of the screen went from armed gunman to security.
Security.
Started with an S.
What the hell?
Scare.
Security scare.
Before our eyes, the news was transforming itself.
This is one of those nights where I will go home, take out my degree from American University in broadcast journalism, and just look at it and shake my head.
So that's my theory, Doctor, on why Mike was wound up today, because I know you take that stuff very seriously.
Well, what I do is I get mad because it is just such hype. It's hype, 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 hype. And really, you know, I always believe that the all the bad guys out there that are trying to do whatever they're trying to do to this country, they rely on those guys. You know, they rely on the journalists to make it. I mean, that's what it's all about, is getting the splash. And boy, they feed into it, don't they? I mean, don't they go absolutely out of their minds?
Yeah.
And they don't do any reporting.
Because there's no news.
You know,
because there is no news. And they're so ill-equipped to deal with whatever urgent messages they have to give that they don't even have a camera truck down there.
No.
So it's radio on TV.
And it's hype, hype, hype.
You're watching a picture from the traffic camera. You know, and that's why the camera was blowing back and forth, because it's a traffic camera. That's the only available shot that they have of the Capitol building at this time of the day. You're watching this, and you're hearing a woman on her telephone.
Right.
You know, the reporter on her telephone. Hell,
I'm really a big believer in all these TV stations that have the pretty people that know how to read and they want to get first on the story.
Mm-hmm.
It's just so few people that really dig and try to get the story. It's like back in the 40s, like the guy that had that little press thing in his fedora hat. That's what I'd like to see.
I don't know if you're like me. If you thought when you heard there might be a crazed gunman at the Capitol, that it might be Doug McElway from Channel 7.
Or Gary Reels.
Yeah. One of those nutty reporters, or maybe Pat Collins from Channel 4.
Look out, here comes John Harder.
Watch out, he's fallen.
Okay, so that's it. Everything's cool. There's no need to worry, ladies.
And really, I mean, and in fairness to the guys the men and women that do respond to that, you know, this is not a slam against them. I mean, those people do what they're told, and they do a good job. They really do.
The people who bring us the information.
That's right. It's the people that bring us the information that piss me off.
Same people who scoff at my credibility.
Mm-hmm.
That's right, bud.
All right, before we go to break here, let's get the Charlie Broyhill testimony about Sacramento Kings player Doug Christie, who we discussed ad nauseum, and rightly so, yesterday on this program. Robbie, you got the basketball music ready?
Yeah.
If you load that up. Here is our first witness. Now, this was documented yesterday on the show with stories from Sacramento Magazine and the New York Times about how this guy, this pussy whip guy for the Sacramento Kings, his name is Doug Christie, and his crazy wife goes to every game, home games, away games, follows the team bus in a car.
Twice on the team plane? Was that part of
that? When they arrive in another city, will follow the team bus in her own car while she chats with him on the telephone. We heard yesterday from callers in Sacramento that he has to point at her during the game.
Mm-hmm.
He can't make eye contact with other women. A woman from the Sacramento Kings was fired because she violated his family law by handing him a telephone message.
I mean, all of these facts together painted a pretty amazing picture.
And now with more, here is our chief investigative reporter, the master of the English language, Charles Broyhill. Hi, Charles.
Huh?
And I see, incidentally, that someone must have gotten a hold of Wendell, because that problem is solved.
Yay.
Hey, way to go, guys.
Didn't know it was a problem.
Look at that.
which problem?
This one, right here.
So that one? Yeah, they did. Engineering did that back in the back.
Look, that's cool the way they do all that stuff on the back.
Yeah. Good job, Tony.
All right, well, somebody...
Tony, way to go. Yeah.
Tell Tony that what he...
It might have been the corporate guy.
Is that Tony?
No.
Who's the corporate guy?
Jeff.
Well, you know what? Both Tony and Jeff will get the Don and Mike Impossible Contest coupons.
Very good.
And that, of course, is good for a large twisty order. At participating locations. You just pull up to the window and say, I want my large twisty. And they'll say, hey. And then you say, I got the impossible ticket.
Thanks so much for the twisty.
So here now is Charlie. Rob, I don't think that's a twisty. I have a twisty face. You're now with more information about Sacramento Kings basketball player, star basketball player, and darling of media of Sacramento, Doug Christie. Here is Charlie. Hi, Charlie.
Well, I heard from a listener that called earlier today that he's not allowed, or the family's not allowed, to listen to or watch anything Madonna, because when he was with the Lakers, he once dated Madonna.
Oh.
She's off limit.
Oh, no.
Doesn't it get better?
If that is true, that he dated Madonna, and now he's dealing with this, that's amazing.
The children were homeschooled, but that's ended.
Okay.
She will escort him off of the court after every game.
Ooh.
So she comes down to the court and walks off when the team's walking off the court.
And the reason she doesn't sit with the other players' wives is she sits diagonally across from the team bench, so she can watch his eyes at all times.
Ooh.
When he's on the bench, he needs to look down at the floor in case he sees a woman.
How great is this?
Man, this is funny.
You couldn't make this up. This is... He is so pussy-whipped.
I'm amazed that, you know, you've read the stories about what all this is. You've seen the interviews with quotes from her.
This guy is a pro athlete.
But what about the specific, you know, this is really something for one of those real sports shows to do a
movie of the week, maybe.
Now, Mike, even though you had your lash-out tirade about Sacramento, we're going to have to ask Sacramento to help us during the next Kings home game, which I believe is Friday night. We're going to need someone who's got a ticket to count the number of times. I call as my next witness, Bobo Spiewak. Bobo, we taped the Kings LeBron James game last night on ESPN. Now, keeping in mind that we didn't have a camera on this guy at all times, and it was a game that was LeBron James' first game, so he was on camera a lot.
He was the darling. Now, I never played the game, but I can explain to you what I saw last
night. Shock, you never played the game.
With my height and my build. Also, something you need to keep in mind is, yes, of course, it was LeBron James' debut, so there was much camera time on him.
In the first half, they cut away for the final 3 minutes and 11 seconds of the Magic and Knicks game. So there was that amount of time that he wasn't on at all.
Okay.
And he only played for about, I would say, two-thirds of the game.
Okay.
His rest. In the first half, he did some gesture skyward 6 times. In the second half, he made some skyward gesture 3 times for a total of 9 gestures. And there seemed to be, to me, 2 gestures. Sometimes he just points up. And there's a very clear time that you can see, I think, in the second half where he just puts his pinky and his pointer finger up in the air. That's his gesture. But sometimes there's a more involved gesture. And I know that you two used to be Catholic like
right.
me.
Yeah.
Do you remember, not the sign of the cross, but what you did for the gospel where you cross your forehead and your chin and your chest?
Father, Son, Holy Spirit.
Okay. Yeah, well, that's man, you are dust and the dust you shall return.
Yeah,
it's
right.
kind of an Ash Wednesday
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, that's the deal. So it seemed to be something almost like that, but then the sky gesture. So I don't know if there's different... Sign language thing.
I'd really like to get more information and find out if indeed these are, because those do sound like similar gestures to the ones where, you know, you see a lot of the baseball players.
Yeah, but even if you do it, do you need to do it 9 times?
But I mean, that also.
Well, there are some dudes who do it 9 times. See, I've seen baseball players.
Loads of them do it.
They do that thing where they cross themselves and then kiss their hand when they're. But
maybe he's praying for God to take him.
But then again, let's remember this.
Right.
That with all these other guys that make whatever.
Right.
It is. There's not articles about them about their wives controlling them.
No, nobody's walking off the court with them, and nobody's getting on the team plane.
Wow. And here is a guy, Larry from Sacramento. Hello, Larry.
Afternoon, guys.
Larry, so are you going to the game on Friday night?
Well, unfortunately, I'm on my way to Reno to take a flight to Las Vegas, but.
Okay, thank you for the call, though.
Hi, Dick.
Thank you for the call. This is going to go to everything I see in Sacramento. Hello, Don and Mike.
Larry!
Hello?
Hello?
Yes, hi.
How you doing?
We're doing very well, thank you.
Larry had a problem there. Hey, Mike, you were getting very upset about Mr. Napier and...
No, I wasn't at all.
No, I heard you.
No, I was getting upset about the whole negativity of the calls we get like you from Sacramento.
Come on. Okay, okay.
Yeah, come on, Mike.
How I
F you.
How I handle it. Like, come
you.
On. Mike.
The only subject that I'm passionate about.
Not, this is a role reversal that I cannot live with. I just want to tell you right now, I cannot live with being the one who's got to be the good guy.
I understand.
I can't.
I know
exist.
It's hard for you.
I can't exist.
I know that. I know. It's tough.
I feel like that George Costanza. Mike, if you continue to act this way, the Don that you know will no longer cease to exist.
You know, with me, it's really like it comes from me. It's uncontrollable. I'm having trouble getting in control of this.
Deep inside.
The George Costanza that you used to know
will cease to exist.
Will cease to exist.
All right, I'm going to try to behave myself. I'm going to try real, real hard.
Because I'm, and how pathetic is this? Listen to me. Great job, great life, great everything. I'm trying so hard to come in every day and have that good attitude.
I know. Don't I do that almost every day? Don't I? And this is just, it's true.
Well, except for yesterday when you dropped the F-bomb a couple of times.
Oh, on the guy?
Yeah.
Yeah.
On the guy with the thing.
That was the day before, wasn't it?
No, I think it was yesterday. It was yesterday.
Yeah.
And was it the day before?
No, it was the day before.
I had one this week, too, so I don't know.
We've all had
contagious.
Sure, that's what I'm saying.
We have that big safety net now.
It's out of control.
Yeah.
It's a bizarro, backwards world. I'm the one that's sitting here going, let's do a nice, happy show that people can dig in their cars. And look at all of you around me.
Now you're getting a little paranoid. Now behave yourself. Everything's going to be just fine. I will be happy and peppy for the rest of the show. Okay. It's a subject that's very dear to my heart. Not Rob shaking. Is it not me?
Yeah,
see, Rob fuels me a little bit. You know how Rob fuels you sometimes?
I know.
He kind of fuels me on this one.
I know he does.
But you know what? He is so right.
Thank you. Here's a guy who's going to the game.
Oh, good.
Yeah. I believe Matt.
Yes.
Hi, Matt.
Maybe I'll just do the conversation here. Matt?
Yes.
Are you going to the game Friday night?
Going to the game Friday night.
All right. Can we count on you to count the number of times that this dude waves at his
wife? I'll do my best. He does it a lot, you know. You know, I may lose track at about 200.
That's
but
okay. You do the best you can, man.
I'll do my best.
No one can ask for more than that.
I'll make a tally mark.
I'm sorry?
What? I'll do a little tally mark.
That's good, Matt. Keep talking right through us. Hi, Matt.
Never mind.
Nice man, Matt.
Okay, guys. Time out. Step away from the microphone, Mr. Spiewak. Step away. Just step away.
And then he'll turn mine off if I keep talking like this.
No, you're fine.
I'm fine.
You get.
I tried.
Pass. I know you.
I tried with that guy. Don, I swear to God, I did. I really did.
I know you tried.
I did. I swear to God.
I know.
I swear to God, I did.
I know.
It was so hard.
No. Here's a guy. All I see from the area code is not from California.
Okay.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hi, Don. How are you?
Hi. Please say hello to Mike.
Hi, Mike.
Hello.
Mike's one of my favorites too.
Thank you.
Broy Hill is always he's always so funny. Also, though.
That's true.
That's good. And he's in here now. He's handing something to Don.
He's handing me a picture of the disc jockey in Sacramento
that we've never seen before.
But not just that. The reason he's so far up their butt is he's their TV play-by-play guy.
Oh, there you go.
Anyway, now I was watching the Sacramento.
Hey, look at I challenged that guy to a handsome contest. I'm serious, and I'm an ugly guy. I challenge him to a handsome contest. Anyway.
Okay, I was watching the Sacramento game last night, and you were talking about the Doug Christie thing.
Right.
Now, he also, I think it was when the ball went out of bounds the one time, and he was...
You're losing me. Cut to the chase here.
Okay. Well, he went out of bounds, and he touched his lips, and he sort of moved on down to his chin and touched his chin, and then something else also.
All right. Thank you for that in-depth report. And they later found out that it was a toy gun. And he was dressed for Halloween.
And I'm done. I'm out. I have no more venom for anybody on the show.
Oh, I would bet against that. I would strongly bet against that. We're going to take a break now.
Okay. Yes, Don.
How would that be?
That's good.
A nice long, cool commercial break.
Let's do that.
Nice, long, cool. There you go. Get your smokes. Go out and have yourself. Have yourself five or six of them during the break. Power smoke.
Yes.
We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gee whiz, gang. Looks like the killer gutted the victim, strangled him with his own intestines, and then dumped the body in the river. You're right, Scoob. We're dealing with one sick son of a bitch.
The Don and Mike Show. Good evening, gentle persons. Here's Don and Mike.
All right, here we are. I'm going to try to take my own advice about keeping things cool.
Happy, happy.
This is a goodie. Playing this music is helpful. But we do need to know. From somebody in Sacramento.
Right.
When we were doing that last break, talking about the other disc jockey, were they... Oh, is that Skin on Five? Gotcha. Were they playing drop-ins of the other disc jockey while we were talking?
Yeah, like over us? Was that happening? We're curious about them.
We'd like to know. We've had a couple of reports about that. Nothing to bring on your plate today.
No.
Just need some verification.
Because it's just information that that will be helpful to us.
Right.
That's all.
Because now we can go to our network. Yeah. We can go to our network and say, hey, network.
Right. No,
let them run the show. Let them do whatever they want. But if there's someone while we're saying something.
That's not playing by the rules.
Tapes of some guy.
Right.
You know, that. Who we've never heard before, well, then we'd like the opportunity, while his show is on, for some representative of our show to play tapes of us.
Exactly.
Saying, like, whatever. And I don't even know what it is that...
That would be fair play.
I don't even know what it is that he would be saying.
Right.
I don't know what the... What would he say? That's a great-looking move to the hole.
I don't know. Am I the only one that thinks this is a good marriage?
That's the wrong guy, Mike.
Sorry, I'm sorry.
That's the wrong guy. We could get some intel on that.
Yeah, very good.
That would be grand. And listen, don't let all of this other talk about, you know, the Capitol and the Halloween guns and everything. Don't forget, tomorrow we're having our Halloween show with the marshmallow races.
Yeah.
Right. And we got to talk about that. Also, Joe trick-or-treating for beer tomorrow and today. Oh, it's going to be a white trash Thursday.
Yay!
When we play the big lie, we give away a 6-night, 7-day trip or two to Sydney, Australia, courtesy of Fox.
Wow.
And the season premiere of True Calling tonight at 8/7 Central on Fox. Should have read that in the first break. Joining us now, the owner, the operator, the designer of the world's greatest website, www.mrskin.com. Here is Jim McBride, Jim Skin. Hey, Jimmy.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
We're doing fantastic. Jim, I know that you have because you've been on the show so long, as we get into the holidays, there are seasons with Mr. Skin. Seasons of a man's life.
Yes.
You have Jim McBride, Mr. Skin, at the Oscars.
Yes.
Where he shows as many nude photos as he can of Oscar winners.
That is correct.
The Emmys.
Mm-hmm.
He has the turkeys.
Yes.
Around Thanksgiving time. And I know around Halloween, we always have the best, grossest nudity scenes ever in movies.
That's correct. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I know... I've already peeked at the first one from Halloween.
Oh, yeah.
So let me just say, I'm sure it's going to be action-packed.
Yes, very good.
Oh, yeah.
Lots of blood, lots of breasts, lots of just what you like. Just lots of bloody breasts.
Blood and breasts.
Just what you like.
Exactly.
At the theater this weekend, there's what, nothing?
Well, there's the movie The Human Stain, which is the...
Grant Napier story.
Yeah, you do get Anthony Hopkins and Nicole Kidman. Nicole Kidman does a strip tease. It's a decent skin. You do see her naked, but, you know, she's one of those actresses. She's done so much in her career that I'm not complaining. I love all nudity in movies, but it's not going to knock your socks off compared to what she's done in Eyes Wide Shut or, you know, Billy Bathgate or anything like
Would
that.
Would Eyes Wide Shut be her best nude scene, do you think?
It's my favorite because of it's a Stanley Kubrick and the lighting's amazing in one of her scenes. But as far as seeing everything, Billy Bathgate is the best because you get two full frontal shots in that. So full frontal always trumps breasts and buns, you know. So.
Right. And now in this movie with Anthony Hopkins, at any point does he like take his shirt off and do they make out?
No, they don't.
Oh, so they were nice enough to us to avoid that.
Yes.
For me, that would ruin it. You're thinking, all right, I'm going to see Nicole Kidman take her clothes off.
Uh-huh.
She's beautiful. And then, you know, you see he's got bigger boobs than she does.
Right.
He's got hair all over his back.
Yeah.
All right,
that's not good.
Okay, so she's naked, but we've seen her naked before.
Yeah.
But it's always a pleasure to see her naked.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Totally, and but really today what I wanted to get into is I figure with Halloween here, a lot of guys are, you know, going to be renting movies. You're going to be at the video store for the weekend, and, you know, it's always fun to rent some horror classics, but what I wanted to do is talk about some of my favorite horror movies. And
your favorite horror movies.
Yeah, that of course feature great celeb nudity. I would never let you down in that regard. So let me get to my list here for good rentals, good nudity. Let's go.
Okay, fantastic.
Number one, one of the scariest movies I've ever seen. I'll never forget the first time I saw it. Halloween, 1978.
Oh, the original.
Without question, one of the scariest. And also, a very young Jamie Lee Curtis. That's where we first saw Jamie Lee Curtis. She was only 19 when she did the movie.
Right, and you know, her balls hadn't dropped at that point.
Stop it.
Well, you know what? It was funny because she never wore anything real revealing. So I remember when I first saw that, I was surprised when I saw in later movies how big her cans were because, you know, she was always wearing like a blue jean shirt or something, and it was hard to tell the way they dressed her up in that. But Jamie Lee did not get naked in Halloween. I'm not going there. But what is great about this is an hour and 4 minutes in, up in the bedroom, there's a blonde babe named PJ Souls. Now, those of you who remember the scene in Stripes when Bill Murray had the spatula out in the kitchen.
Oh my God! It's one of those girls.
Yep.
Oh,
wow.
When they went to
Sean Young and PJ Souls.
Yeah, and there she is in Halloween. And
oh, wow.
There's three or four scenes where she's...
Yeah, that's the scene where she's in bed with her boyfriend. The boyfriend goes down to the kitchen. We never hear from him again. And up comes Mike Myers with the sheet over. And in the classic moment, not only the sheet, but he had the glasses on over the sheet, which is beautiful. But now the PJ Soul toplessness, PJ Soul's toplessness in this is great. If you don't mind the phone cord wrapped around her neck...
that's a little disturbing, yeah. There he is.
Yeah, but she's got, man, those are, you know, those nipples are almost too big for the areola. Look at the last photo.
Yeah, I know.
You see that? Look at
it. Yes.
It looks like one of the rings around Uranus.
Very
I mean,
pretty.
It's gigantic, like a ring around Saturn.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But, so Halloween's a great rental. It's a scary movie. Everyone should see it around this time. And you get some bonus nudity. That is 1 hour and 4 minutes in PJ Souls.
Gotcha.
Okay, so the next one, I know I won't linger too long on this because I talk about it so much, but Embrace of the Vampire, for those few in your audience that don't know about this movie yet, it's a 1994 movie, what I consider the Gone with the Wind, the Citizen Kane of celeb nude movies. Back in 1992, the show Who's the Boss ended, and all those fans of a young, budding Alyssa Milano were disappointed because she was pretty much off the map for about 2 years, and all
you love this. You love this movie.
All of a sudden, she comes out and goes from no nudity in her career to one of the great movies for nudity in the history of skinema. The movie is Embrace of the Vampire. She's pretty much naked from start to finish. Girl-on-girl action, lesbo action, great lighting, everything I love in a you know, nudity in a movie, and it's all wrapped in one. Embrace of the Vampire, classic. Great rental for this holiday.
And Alyssa Milano, she gets she's really up in the top 10, isn't she, with hits on your website?
Yeah, it's always been, no matter, you know, it's funny because she's not an A-list actress like, a J-Lo. Well, I don't know if J-Lo's anymore. But
yeah,
she's
but
not
I mean,
like
popularity, right?
Not like a Nicole Kidman or a Julia Roberts, but I'll tell you, since we've had the site, she's always in the top 10 in popularity. And I don't know. I mean, it's because I guess a lot of guys grew up with her, and she's always been on television. But she looks amazing.
And she's got one of those racks the guys just talk about. You're always saying, I'd like to see a picture. Mm-hmm. And if you go to MrSkin.com, you put in Alyssa Milano and this movie, you get a shot of some hot lesbo action. They're almost nursing. And my favorite shot, Jimmy, is the one just of the hand in between the breasts.
Yes, thank you. Very artistic.
Wonderfully done.
Yes,
I mean,
we'll give you a cinematic credit on that, Mr. Skin.
You know, and I know I've talked about this movie a lot, but I just can't. You can't talk horror movies nudity without Embrace the Vampire.
No. You can't talk horror movies without Alyssa Milano.
Right, exactly. So that's a classic. But another great one that I don't know if a lot of guys know about this. It's a 1993 horror movie called Doppelganger. And within the last 6 months, it was finally put to DVD. I was very excited about this. And the reason is because it starred an 18-year-old Drew Barrymore. Now, when Drew was 18 years old, she had a different-looking body than she does today.
Didn't she have breast reduction?
You got it. And she was like a 34D, all natural. And in this movie, she's in the shower. 23 minutes in, she's in the shower. Now, I want to warn you, the shower water does turn to blood. But
if you can get past that part, it
really, truly is a great topless scene. It's her best.
Wow.
It's her best nude scene. And I'm telling you, her body does not look like this anymore. You're treated to a pre-breast reduction Drew Barrymore in this.
Pre-Tom Green. the movie is Doppelganger.
Doppelganger from 1993. It is available on DVD, and you definitely want to see that shower scene 23 minutes in. And plus, she had some great bra and panty stuff, too, but I'm showing you the highlight there.
Really nice shot of her boobs. You know, and I don't know about you, Mike. I know it says about me. I can get past the blood right away.
Oh, yeah.
Well, really, with that body, you can ignore the fact and say to yourself that it's only a movie. Right. Absolutely.
Yeah, and so far today, we've gotten past the phone cord around the neck and the blood. So.
Right. You know my motto, Mike, you don't have the blood.
Yes, I understand.
Just like you don't have the face.
Right. And is there, just out of curiosity, because you know, maybe you're not as bothered by the blood as I am, but I will tell you, is there any in this scene, if you got a real-time clip of that, is there any, is the water regular for a while?
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, that's too bad.
Oh, stop it.
That's too bad.
But it's great. It's a great scene, no matter blood or not, it's still a great scene. Now, another...
it's always better with blood, though.
Yeah.
Well, it's Halloween.
Halloween, right. It's got to keep with the Halloween thing. Another classic horror flick, very creepy movie, is a 1987 movie called Angel Heart. It starred Mickey Rourke and Robert De Niro as Louis Cipher. It features... great nudity from, again, we're the young babe factor here. Lisa Bonet, who at time was about 19 years old, and she was also at the time playing Denise Huxtable on The Cosby Show.
And I tell you what, someone rubbed an ice cube.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, absolutely.
I saw a showgirl. Someone rubbed an ice cube on her boob before they did this scene. Look at that thing.
Isn't that amazing?
Look at that boing.
Is that Mickey Rourke on top of her?
Yeah, that's Mickey Rourke.
I'm sorry to kill the buzz, guys.
Worse than blood.
Yeah, that is worse than blood.
Well, actually, there tons of blood appears shortly thereafter, but I showed you the non-blood. Sorry about that. I know.
I don't think I've ever seen that movie, Angel Heart. Is that worth getting to and taking a look at?
Yeah, I think it is. I think you'd like the movie, and then you get bonus great nudity. Both Lisa Bonet and a babe named Charlotte Rampling get naked in this. Now, to give you an idea, this movie, the nudity was so great, and the sex scene between Mickey Rourke and Lisa Bonet so graphic that old man Cosby basically booted her off the Cosby Show. Next thing you know, she's starring in a spin-off called A Different World for 2 years. So he really bummed out.
So this is what got her kicked off the Cosby Show and got her own show?
You got it.
Wow.
You got it. So,
a good movie.
So that tells you right there it's good skin. So,
and she's definitely an actress. Where have they gone? I mean, she hasn't been in anything for years, right?
Yeah, she really had about a 4 or 5 year, but late 90s.
It was Len Kravitz. I think the Len Kravitz, the LK effect.
Yes, absolutely.
Which is now, incidentally, invading, what's her name?
Nicole Kidman, they're hot and heavy.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, so anyway, but Angel Heart, great nudity, great Lisa Bonet skin in this. Definitely check it out, a good horror rental for this weekend.
All right.
A couple more. Swamp Thing, I've talked to you guys about this before, but we...
Is this Barbeau?
Yeah, Miss Barbeau.
And this is, I don't know if you've ever seen the shot, the actual shot. This is one that Jim talked about on the show a while ago, and Buzz got it for me for Christmas a couple of years ago, based on the recommendation from MrSkin.com. Mm-hmm. And if you've ever seen Maud or Escape from New York, and you wanted to see what the jugs on Adrian Barbeau look like, Swamp Thing. I mean, it's in my collection. I know the exact spot in the movie to freeze frame and see them.
Well, and I want to stress with this for anyone out there that might be thinking of renting this. The original movie you saw in the theater back in 82 did not have this scene. The video, for many years, or never, has had that scene. They released the DVD in July of 01. When they released the DVD... and it was still rated PG, and it got him in a little trouble. They threw in this extra 35-second scene that never made it to the movie, where Adrian is waiting around topless in the swamp, we joke, no chance of drowning for her. Cause, I mean, they're huge, natural. It's a great scene, especially for guys like me who grew up in the 70s. Is, you know, you'd see her as playing Caroline Maude in those tight sweaters.
And you'd always wonder, what do they look like?
I know, this is... That was a big thrill.
And now you know. So anyway, that
one. And still photographed when she's topless in the swamp. She looks so wistful.
Yeah.
She's just,
when you watch it, it's really good because it goes, you know, obviously I'm showing you one picture, but she's like putting water on him.
Yeah, it's a good long scene. Yeah. She's bathing.
Yes.
She's bathing her breast.
Yes, oh, it's very nice.
The only thing that would make that better would be if she was bathing in blood.
Because of Halloween, of course, you're qualifying your remarks.
That's right.
Of course.
Adrian, well, what's her name again?
Barbeau.
She gives me a bar boner.
Yeah.
She does.
But anyway, so now, last I wanted to mention Elvira. You're going to see a lot of Elvira, obviously, around this time of the year.
Now, hold on. There is a great Elvira shot.
Really?
Go ahead, Jimmy. There's one that'll just, it'll make you laugh out loud.
Okay. Yeah. Now, Elvira, we've all seen her, you know, through the 80s and 90s, you know, on television, on horror movies and stuff. But any guy watching Elvira, you're not really listening to what she's saying. You're looking at that cavernous cleavage and thinking, geez, has she ever shown them? And I really have some good finds on her at the site. Actually, she did a movie in 1988 called Elvira, Mistress of the Dark. And it features one of the great nip slips in movie history.
This is the one I was telling you about. This is the one that will make you laugh out loud.
if you have this movie or go rent it this weekend, it's 18 minutes in. It's they're in the bowling alley and she's struggling with these two guys, and this one guy grabs her from behind. Her breasts are so huge, and I knew she wasn't wearing a bra under those damn costumes.
You see the nipple?
Wow.
Yeah, it's a pretty clear shot.
Wow.
Pretty good shot. Now,
I mean, the whole thing comes out.
Jeez. And she didn't count on that, did she?
No, that's nip slippage. That was not
this is in the movie, but in the movie, in real time in the movie, does it go by so fast?
That's what I wanted to say is we have the clip, the video clip of it, and we have the picture. Normally, I always recommend the video clip because you get the sound, you get to see the bounce, you get all that. But in this case, I mean, it truly happened so fast. We even slowed it down in skin vision in the clip. And even with that, it's hard to see, but with the digital freeze frame on the DVD, you could really get a nice shot.
hours went into making this photograph.
Oh, yeah. She's apparently, I don't know, in a kid's room or something like that.
Yeah, they're actually in a bowling alley.
Those are bowling trophies, and there's a guy.
You bet they're bowling trophies.
There's a guy who's grabbing her around the waist, and her right boob just comes out.
Very clearly.
Yeah. You see it, right, Buzz?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. But I also wanted to mention, before she was Elvira, she was known as Cassandra Peterson, and she made a little-known, hard-to-find movie called The Working Girls in the early 70s.
Right.
And played a stripper, and it was kind of neat because in real life she's a redhead, and she goes on stage in just a thong and dances around, and
she's a great looking redhead.
Yeah, right. She is. She is hot, and so you can see we also have these pics, and I included them for you guys. Is this very obscure, hard to find movie called The Working Girls, and this one is a long, like it goes on for a minute and a half. This scene, she's just dancing on stage, so it's by far her best movie for nudity. But I kind of dig the nip slip because she's in the Elvira costume, which makes the fantasies that much better.
Mm-hmm. Right. In this movie, The Working Girls, with Elvira, she's dancing naked there. Is it just topless, or do you get to see anything?
She's in a thong. You do get some bun cheeks, but it's thong, so she's topless and a thong.
Topless and a thong.
I just realized something about that movie, too.
What?
I've told you this story before about the one time years and years ago, when I told my 83-year-old mom, but it was earlier, to go out and rent the movie Working Girl.
Oh,
and
right.
They rented this instead. Yeah. I remember the story, yeah.
Oh, that's great.
It is, but they couldn't stop watching it.
Yeah, you didn't see Melanie Griffith in that one.
No, you didn't.
I would say, really, out of all of those, this week, on the Halloweeny edition of Mr. Skin, I would go with the Elvira nip slip while she's in the Elvira suit as the best pull. That's the one that you're going to want to see.
I sure don't mind that Lisa Bonet segment.
Yeah, I know. Pretty nice. There's so much. Yeah. Right. The thing is, I was looking at her site because we do keywords for movies. Well, we'll say if a movie has lesbianism or whatever, and you could search, like we have 20,000 movies, so you could type it. I want to see every movie with horror, lesbianism, and, you know, public nudity or something.
You're providing a public service.
And I'm really like, I was struggling. I was like, geez, man, there's like, I want to talk about 200 movies, but, you know, you got to limit it. So these are ones I really, really like. So I think any of these you check out, you're going to see some cool stuff.
All right. Well, happy Halloween. It's Mr. Skin. .com,
www,
and really, like I say, every week, the best website in the world.
It is.
We'll talk to you next week, Jimmy.
All right, guys, take care.
All right, bye-bye. God, he's a perv. He is really a major league pervert.
He's elevated it to an art form.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello, this is Paul.
Yes, hello. Yeah, Paul in Sacramento. Hi, Don and Mike show.
I want to let you guys know that the douchebag didn't drop him in over you. They just dropped him in at the beginning of the commercial break.
All right, that's fine. All right, that's no sweat.
Still, what kind of? I mean, you know, was it just a regular promo?
He said, "I'm still here," and that was something from his show.
Okay. All right.
So if it was a regular promo, what are you going to do?
Yeah, I mean, fine. I mean, if they were dropping it in over the content of this show, we'd have
to. I had to ask because Charlie said we had, you know, all of our junior producers out there calling in.
Yeah, sure. I think a few people from Sacramento were calling saying that they were interrupting the show, but that's okay.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Well, Mike, I took the call.
I know.
I took it, so they weren't interrupting. Hello.
Hello?
No, so they were interrupting our show with Grant Napier. That's
I understand.
I
thought you were talking about
I wasn't saying anything bad about anybody in Sacramento.
About call
no, person,
hello,
no,
Don and Mike show. No. Hello.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air.
Hello. Hi.
Hi.
Oh, okay, I'm on. I didn't hear a swish.
Where are you calling from?
Culpeper.
Oh, great.
Virginia.
Good.
Yep. Hey, Buzz.
Yes.
I love you and your news.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
But you got it wrong this time.
What'd I do?
Got what wrong?
The costumes, they weren't in costumes. It was three young girls that were carried. They're going to a costume party tonight. and they were carrying their stuff in some kind of a little bag, and they put it on the conveyor belt.
That part's true. I heard it was, I'm still getting reports to say it was two women.
No. The report that Mike and I saw upstairs said it was a guy and a woman.
Yeah, a guy and a woman.
A guy interrupted the security guard that does the x-ray looking, and asked her for directions she gave them, and when she looked...
You'd be going off right now if this broad called from
not
Sacramento.
Today. No, absolutely not.
You would be...
Picked up their bag and disappeared.
All right, thank you. Mary, thank you.
Thank you, okay. Mary.
Thank you, Mary.
Thank you, bye-bye.
Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, what's going on? Yeah, they were dropping his voice over your guys' content.
During the show?
No, you can't, and this has nothing to do with Sacramento, but you can't accept credibility when somebody says guises.
Oh, I didn't say guises, guys.
No,
man.
You said your guises.
This is another call. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, guys. You know what? He does this little thing, they drop it in sometimes on other shows, where he goes, hello, and they dropped it in probably four or five times while you guys were talking about him.
Okay. Well, that ain't cool.
That isn't cool at all.
Oh, it totally wasn't cool. And then they did a little thing at the end where you guys went off and where you went to commercial and he did a little thing, and it was just sort of ironic. It was pissing me off, though.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You should be pissed off.
Yeah, man.
The thing with the promo is, hey, Mike, way to go. I like that. You see that? You're tabling it right there.
Yeah, I am.
We're getting the facts out.
I'm doing the work. I'm baby stepping.
We're getting the facts out there, and we'll deal with it the way that we'll deal with it.
Absolutely. And that's that's the right way to handle it. Thanks for calling us.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, they are dropping Grant's voice on while you guys
really?
Talk. Yeah, and that guy's such a jackass.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah, he sure is, Billy. He sure is.
You know, I don't know what to tell you.
You're like, and I'll tell you right now, I'm hearing a tick, 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 tick right now. That sound you hear is coming from the other side of the console, and it's going tick, 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 tick.
It's a nervous...
The tapping of pencils.
Tapping of my pencils, Jim.
But I'm happy to report that everything is getting back to the way it's supposed to be.
I'm just trying. You know what? Do you want me to really?
No, I don't. I don't. But I mean, I'm just. Don't you feel like it's kind of back where everything's aligned the right way right now? Because I had that moment where I got it all off my chest, and now I'm fine.
Well, now okay. In as I like calling it, WOM, World of Mike. In WOM,
right.
Things are fine.
Right, but now not fine with you.
In WOD,
yeah, World of Don, not good.
WOD,
just because you're what's happening is
I'm still being a traffic cop.
But this is important because but it should also be pointed out.
And I'm
you are more tolerant of Sacramento, but yet you also have a limit too.
Yeah, if they're doing that with the content in the show, then
right.
then I'm willing to throw the mm-hmm. friendly agreement away and be angry
right.
and take up large spots of valuable airtime screaming about stuff and saying how, you know, the idiot program director and the dumb disc jockey, but the thing is...
That's not necessary.
When you get down to it, really, and I'm being serious now. We've done that, and we never get anywhere with it.
No, we don't. Not with that station.
We never get anywhere with it.
No, it doesn't work.
And I don't know. I think you guys listen to the show to hear what naturally happens. And if it's a natural explosion, it'll happen.
And I think I'm not saying that. No, oops,
try to make it fun.
Self-editing, right there. I know. I've said my piece, and your instincts are perfectly right.
Absolutely. Okay, we're gonna take a break.
I'm not gonna do something that I would think would be funny. Would be to ask Joe how many calls he's gonna receive today about that other fella whose name I will not mention.
Well, you could go ask Joe during
the break. I'll ask him, and I'll do it for my own amusement, but I won't share them with the listening audience. I've said my piece.
Mm-hmm. See, now what you're doing is that you're pandering to them, because now those very people that you're speaking about...
Ladies and gentlemen, Joe Archer.
They will want to know. I just like it noted on the record,
Joe,
that it was approximately an hour ago that I really lost control of the show today.
I don't know why you're saying that.
I just want to say, okay, go ahead. Yes, Joe.
Well, I wanted to confirm that Sacramento has had its day in the sun.
Mm-hmm.
It's time for them to all put their telephones down. We know who Grant Napier is. We know KHTK is dropping things over our broadcast.
Okay.
We know that Grant Napier is in a Nike commercial.
Mm-hmm.
We know that Grant Napier went on a tirade yesterday. We also know that he didn't. So, Sac, you've had your fun. It's time to get back to the show. Time to let Don focus on the show.
Okay.
So put your phones down. I still see the lights lighting up. Put them down now and enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you, Joe. Security guard, Joe Arden, sir.
Yeah, he's wearing a Halloween costume.
Remember his name in Pig Latin is OJ.
Absolutely.
OJ. All right. Well, listen, I appreciate the support from all you guys.
You got it.
This has been great. I'll meet you next Thursday.
Very good.
At 3 o'clock for our next session.
It'll be fine.
Hosting a radio show without killing yourself. And we will break. And then, as Joe said... The show will continue.
Excellent idea. The
show will continue. But never mind. I'll tell you after the break. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show. WJFK.
Boy, what a kid toucher that Grant Napier is. Let's see how they like that. How's that play in Sacramento, huh?
Bingo. Boy.
You see any of the new kids on the new sitcoms, Grant? Hot, baby.
Yeah.
That's, hot.
That's what gets you going, isn't it?
Grant Napier.
At every high school, there's one girl every boy notices, every male teacher looks at, and every man wants. She's the naughty cheerleader. Why don't you let her turn you on, too? The naughty cheerleader. The girl of every man's wildest dreams. Don't miss The Naughty Cheerleader, in color, rated R. No one under 17 admitted without parent, from Independent International.
The Don and Mike Show.
This is Ghetto-licious.
You can call Don and Mike anytime, from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Hi, this is Fabio, wishing you a very happy Halloween.
That gravy, dog. The Don and Mike Show.
Right, right. Now, listen, here's the deal tomorrow. Tomorrow's Halloween.
Right. Halloween!
And really, it's a stretch, I know, but kids love marshmallows at Halloween time. So we're having marshmallow races. Here's the deal. You show up here tomorrow, Don and Mike World Broadcast Headquarters, right at the beginning of the show. You got to be here at WJFK at 3 o'clock.
3 o'clock sharp.
3 o'clock East Coast time. Well, you know that. If you're in the area, you know it's 3 o'clock.
It is local.
So you get yourself down here. And the good news is you don't have to bring your own marshmallows.
Right.
We will supply the marshmallows, standard size and issue, I think Kraft marshmallows.
Oh, Kraft marshmallows, they're the best, the Gen Puff.
So here's the deal.
From Kraft.
We're going to have a track set up around the radio station.
Uh-huh.
And what you'll be asked to do is reach into your pants. It would be nice to wear like sweatpants.
Yeah. Kraft full-size marshmallows. Reach into the bag and insert.
So you got sweatpants on, and what you do is you reach down, or we have the tong man, Dennis, if he shows up
right.
with the tong, to put the marshmallow in between your cheeks there. Anyway, or you can just insert it yourself as you would a... imagine that the marshmallow is a suppository.
Oh, God. Oh, yeah.
And,
that's the way to do it.
And then what you want to do is we have you run, but the deal is you have to run... without the marshmallow coming out of your buttocks.
Yes, now that requires two skills. Either the skill of putting the marshmallow deep enough where it's not going to come loose, or a tremendous amount of flexing.
Mm-hmm. Or if you're like one of those power walker
right.
people, you know, where you mm-hmm. got the hot bun action.
Mm-hmm.
I almost said bung action, but same deal. Shorts would probably be good. I mean, if you want to wear short shorts.
If you have to, jeans.
And girls, of course. Yeah, Robbie.
I think shorts should almost be required. I put this before you guys because that would be easiest to detect. If they would lose the marshmallow.
This is true.
Mm-hmm.
This is true. Yeah, but I think we can be flexible, Rob.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're going to be very flexible with women. Here's the deal.
Yeah.
That we'll come up with a predetermined amount of time that you'll be given if you're a woman and you put the marshmallow in the no-no and then you run the race topless.
I think we'll determine that by just what the discrepancy would be between a male and a female of equal athletic ability.
Mm-hmm. And if you want to, if you're a female and you want to insert two marshmallows, mm-hmm. then you'd be playing for bonus time.
So your bonus would be topless and also two marshmallows.
Yeah, then mm-hmm. watch out.
Then you've got an incredible chance of walking home with the trophy.
Lord, and, yes. And now what we're talking about running is we're talking about starting you right up by the front desk of the radio station, mm-hmm. have you run past our studio.
Thank you for disrupting our workplace.
Past the screeners.
Uh-huh.
You make a right-hand turn at Haji's desk. Mm-hmm. Then you will go past Alan Linebaugh's office, the jittery general manager. Mm-hmm. Then when you get to... no, is that not the course?
We can't have a topless course like that, no.
Well, can't
it would have to be the one we discussed upstairs.
Okay, well, if girls want to do a topless, then we have an alternate course upstairs.
The alternate course, and we will adjust the times accordingly.
But either way, we've got a course that involves stairs and mm-hmm. going around pillars quite a few times.
Enough of a course that, it'll make you break a sweat.
Right.
Not if you're topless.
Very true. And the grand prize is $1,000.
Wow. And all the marshmallows you can eat.
So we're going to be doing this tomorrow. What you want to do is just, this is a great contest to participate in because, mm-hmm. you know, the nudity is optional.
Mm-hmm.
Really, it's the question is how fast can you run through a major office building?
And ladies are also encouraged to participate. Even if they don't want to be topless, they can still play.
Absolutely. With a marshmallow in your duke.
Mm-hmm.
And then what you have to do is when you're done with the course, when we, you know, do the stopwatch and get your time and it's like 48 seconds or whatever, then we have to see now... present the marshmallow.
For inspection.
Present.
And at that point, there's a napkin or there's some kind of cloth, and you put the thing down.
And
we check out the color
and texture.
And texture.
Because I remember vividly, even though now it was 12 years ago.
We only did this bit one time 12 years ago.
Because I remember that some of the marshmallows were really turned into marshmallow fluff.
Mm-hmm.
A little melted. And also the reason that I think it's so Halloween-y is that a lot of the marshmallows really ended up an orangey color.
Yeah, we had pumpkin-colored marshmallows, mostly with the guys.
Mm-hmm.
I think it may have been... No, I take it back.
There was one woman...
It was not an all-male event. It was there was one woman, and she was not clean.
And she produced a really... just a great pumpkin-colored marshmallow.
So that's tomorrow's show, and your chance to win $1,000. Come on down. And the good news about this, unlike this other Jive Radio stuff that's happening, you don't have to wear a costume.
Nope.
You don't have to come down and do a trick-or-treat.
Right.
Thongs are cordially invited.
Absolutely. Thongs will be wonderful.
Thongs will be great.
For men and women?
Yeah. So come down tomorrow starting at 3.
Very good.
We'll have the course set up. We've got the wireless microphones. We'll give you a play-by-play description as people run through the building trying to win the $1,000. Also on the show tomorrow, Joe Ardinger will be out trick-or-treating for beer. This will be the third year in a row that Joe has gone out with his little cart, his wagon, and gone door-to-door with a cell phone.
It's a cooler with wheels. Now.
It's amazing that people really love Joe when they come when Joe comes to their house.
You know, Joe has a way with people in real life. Maybe this doesn't translate on our show. I have a hard time communicating with him a lot of times.
Mm-hmm, right.
Just because he's so Joe.
Right.
But for some reason, when he goes out and he knocks on strangers' doors on Halloween and says trick or beer, it is amazing... Nobody's called the police.
Nope.
Nobody's asked him to leave. Mm-hmm. He has gotten beer.
Wine.
Mm-hmm. I believe hard liquor. Mm-hmm. He's gotten food supplies.
He gets great stuff because if people don't have beer in the house, they want to make Joe happy.
Yeah, he's charming that way.
So that's on tomorrow's episode. Two big things, but we wanted to push that marshmallow thing. If you get here right at the beginning of the show, mm-hmm. that's when we want to start doing this,
exactly.
Having the fun tomorrow. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Good afternoon, radio guys.
Hey.
Hey, listen, if you don't bathe, would it be a s'more that you then produce at the end?
Sir, it depends on your own cleanliness.
I will tell you, though, that 12 years ago we did not see any real s'more situations, and that will be highly disturbing
if
that
happens. Yes,
it was all that autumnic, the orange, the autumnal. Thank you. Yeah. Was the changing of the leaves?
Mm-hmm.
That's what it was.
All
it was
colors.
There was not a lot of brown.
And while I would want to encourage people to, you know, specifically not prepare we take all comers in the marshmallow races, and you know, you do what you
have
best
to do.
Yeah. You might want to remember that we are trying to entertain people.
And remember that one thing that made America great and still does is that we're number one.
Mm-hmm.
And we take whatever, you know, as Americans, whatever stand we have to take to be number one, even if it means number two,
mm-hmm.
if you know what I mean.
Absolutely.
If you got to have number two to be number one,
right.
make it happen.
Yeah.
And while we look forward to all the autumnal colors tomorrow, remember that maples turn red.
Hello.
That's
Hello
what there. Rob's praying for.
Don at Mike's show. Hello.
Oh, man.
Hello there.
Cherry-colored marshmallows.
Don and Mike's show. Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike, two quick questions.
Yeah.
Is Bart going to be there? Because I know he wanted to be there before.
No, see, that was he was just a little... He was like... You know, I was talking about my wife. I think he was 5 years old when we did it the first time. No, he's at college. What's the other question there?
The other question is do you score extra points if you eat the marshmallow?
Yes. No.
I thought we were taking some time off.
No, Mike...
that's right. It's only by choice.
The lawyers will not allow any eating of any marshmallows.
Oh.
Oh, how about sniff
it? 12 years a night, yeah, you can sniff it. Sure, you can sniff it. But I don't think you could...
No, devouring of the marshmallows.
Oh, okay. Thanks, guys.
I think that was a tiebreaker 12 years ago, and they researched it. I think I mentioned it yesterday. Mm-hmm. They, they figured out...
Well, would it be okay, though, to say that, all... Marshmallows would be given to somebody here at the radio station if they wanted to go home and make candied yams.
Well, we've decided to do, Mike, is go to the local Boys and Girls Club.
Isn't that lovely?
And, mm-hmm. you know, what we're going to do, it's almost like caramelizing.
That's wonderful.
The various marshmallows, and we're going to put them all in a bag and send them down to local Boys Club.
Oh, cool, boy.
Look, they're coasting. You guys are awesome. I'll see you guys later. See you.
See you tomorrow.
See you.
Bye-bye.
See you there.
Bye then. Hi, Don and Mike Show. Bye now. Hello.
Yeah.
Hi.
Hello.
Hey.
If you can't eat a marshmallow, could you insert it like it was a suppository after it's over with?
Well, now, listen, whatever you do in the privacy of your own home is your own business.
Yeah,
pal.
When you hop into your car, you can do whatever. We'll let you keep your marshmallows.
Right, hello. Don and Mike Show.
In fact, we insist on it.
Hey, God, hey, Mike, how you doing?
Hey, there he is.
Hey, you want me to come grab him off?
Super Jock, Dennis Murphy. Yes, Dennis, we like it. Here's the thing. If anybody feels at all awkward... About, you know, and listen, let's face it, it's not a natural thing to put a marshmallow there.
I wouldn't be too sure about that. I think it's a very, you know, you've got natural, marshmallows. I'm sure they have some chemicals in
them. Well, I know most people would probably rather do it themselves, but if you, I guess we could find out some type of extra bonus if you let Dennis apply the marshmallow.
For anybody that...
With tongs, right?
With tongs.
Okay.
With tongs. And a CSI glove, you know, on your one hand.
Good
just,
idea.
Just in case you got to get in there, in case there's a nook or a cranny.
I knew this from the last time. It's a sensation that feels real good. It's decent.
Most all gays like this.
It's decent.
All right, Dennis. We'll be here at 3, okay?
Okay, I'll do that. And I'll see y'all later.
All right, thank you, Dennis.
Mike?
Yes, Dennis.
Give me a personal assistant.
Yeah, Dennis, we'll talk about it.
Okay.
All right, very good.
Yeah, like, no, okay, bye.
Bye.
Okay, Mike.
Bye, Dennis. Hello there, Don and Mike Show.
Don and Mike, Radio God,
hey.
How's it going?
Okay.
I had a question about the contest, because I'm looking to win a grand here.
All right.
Yeah.
My wife, large D-cup breasts, can I get bonus points if I have her put one marshmallow under each breast as she runs around topless?
Good question.
I think so, yeah, but it's mainly for the Duke. I mean, everything else is
well,
just,
absolutely. We'll
just
be going,
gravy.
We'll be going in both places downstairs, but I'm just making sure about the time.
Yeah, I would say the four marshmallow bonus would be, but she's got to keep the marshmallows where they are.
Yeah, and now remember, when she's running, she would have to keep the marshmallow in her place, the marshmallow in her Duke, and the marshmallow under each boob.
Yeah, they can't fall out. Any marshmallow falls out, you don't get the same bonus.
Well,
no,
it's a gentleman's game, and that's what we're playing here.
Okay,
so.
Good.
All right.
Can she bring a friend, and if the friend eats them, can we get bonus points?
No, listen, again, everybody, we'd love to, we did the eating thing, but we live in a different society
we
now.
Can't reward that.
You guys rule.
Thank you, my friend.
Well, there's another excited participant in tomorrow's game.
He wants the grand.
Let me call the jittery general manager. Just to make sure on that. I think it's been run by the lawyers.
Just what the parameters of the contest are?
Maybe the jittery general manager doesn't even know about it.
Well, he'll know about it as soon as somebody comes flying by his open door in a thong.
Hello, this is Al.
Alan.
Hi, Alan.
Hey, pal.
JFK Radio. I'm unavailable right now, so please leave your name, number, and a brief message, and I'll get back to you as soon as possible.
Hi, Charlie.
He does know.
Have a nice day.
Oh, he does.
He's aware of
the
event.
I'll record your message at the tone.
And is looking forward to it.
Of course.
Yeah. All right, well, then,
we could just be a pleasant message. Hello, is this the jittery general manager?
Hi, Alan.
Hey, pal, it's Don and Mike.
We're just calling to alert you about the fabulous contest we're doing tomorrow.
Yeah, and so you know about, hold on, I'm looking for something right now. I just want to say, you know, there's not a lot of chances. Let me move my microphone here.
Very good.
There's not a lot of chances for us to say, spotlight on Alan Line 1, jittery general manager. But I've got one right here. I got a link. Here we go. Okay, hold on a second. Yeah, because I want to give you the pub that you deserve.
Yeah, he deserves it.
This is from DCRTV.com,
mm-hmm.
Is that a radio site we've talked about mm-hmm. before. And they have a link. They were quoted. This website
okay.
was quoted in the New York Post today.
Very good.
In page 6. And there's a picture of the skateboarders.
Okay.
You know. And incidentally, Sirius Radio looking great for them, incidentally.
Oh, good.
If you're thinking about making the investment, because I'm telling you, that's the wave of the future.
Absolutely.
I had it in the rental car down in Clemson, and yeah. I want to tell you, wow, I got home and threw all of my radios out when I got home. I said, I don't want to hear regular radio.
Yes, ooh. Yes, get Sirius.
Now that I've heard this great Sirius Radio, now that I've heard the same bad 30 records that Oldies 100 plays, except with worse disc jockeys, impossible,
mm-hmm.
give me this Sirius.
Amen.
So anyway, the skateboarders, there's an article here. It says October 30, 2003. Fans of the Opie and Anthony radio show are still hungry for their foul-mouthed heroes to return. This is from New York.
Okay.
WJFK Night Talkers Ron and Fez, that's the show that follows us currently, were in town at the Hard Rock Cafe for a live broadcast the other night when Anthony Cumia showed up to support his pals. His pals would be Ron and Fez,
okay.
whose show once followed his at Troubled WNEW.
Uh-huh.
The crowd spotting Cumia, and how could you miss him?
Oh, absolutely.
How could you miss him? He's dynamic, he's talented, he's handsome, he's, wow.
Mm-hmm.
So sad, he's sitting on the sidelines now waiting for his break with Sirius. They started chanting O and A.
Mm-hmm.
Jittery WJFK honchos immediately cut the show off.
They actually, yes, they hit the dump button.
Like the jittery JFK honchos wouldn't have known that you're sending Ron and Fez, who used to broadcast in New York, you're sending them back to New York to mm-hmm. do a live broadcast mm-hmm. to the audience that used to listen to their show.
That doesn't make a tremendous amount of sense to me.
No, but beyond that, let's say that they're doing that. You got to know if you're the jittery JFK manager.
Right.
You got to know that this is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You got to know that Ron and Fez are friends with the Satellite Cirrus boys.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And that the Satellite Cirrus boys, because they don't have jobs.
Right.
You know, they're for whatever reason, you know, and I don't get this either, that our guy, Big Daddy Mel,
mm-hmm.
he's at some convention last week talking about how, you know, they're awful and they're bad.
Uh-huh.
He mentioned them by name, the you know, the skateboarders
right.
said that they lost the company a lot of money with the whole sex in the church thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know why the jittery JFK management, knowing that the Big Daddy Mel, the
yeah.
CEO, had just
I'm sorry.
Said this.
Maximum recording time was exceeded.
Well, never mind. I don't know why you would send Ron and Fez there knowing that that's probably going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But then after it happens, that's where you really cement your mark as a jittery JFK manager. By just pulling the broadcast.
Just dumping it.
Yeah. Just dumping out of it.
Great decisions being made every day.
There you go. You know, I don't know how... I just want to say I'm really glad that we re-upped with this team. And I'm just very, very glad we don't have to worry about that crap
anymore. I really am, too. You know, it's amazing. It just gets curiouser and curiouser.
And it's one of those things, you know, that we know happened.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I mean, it's in the New York newspapers.
Right.
We know it happened. And everybody around this station, WJFK, is walking on eggshells with us, like, do we know?
Yeah, don't tell them.
Yeah,
we knew.
Yeah,
believe me, you know, you don't do this show. We know when it happens.
Did we know? I mean, it doesn't, trust me, it doesn't kill me that Ron and Fez are obviously friends with the skateboarders.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool. Go to New York, have them on your show.
Right.
You know, good, more power to you, Ron and Fez. you know, I've got guys that are friends of mine as well.
Now, exactly.
I don't go to cities where I used to broadcast from and put them on the radio, but but now that I think about it,
it's right on. It's spot on.
I'd love the opportunity to go back to Chicago and just do a show for the seven or eight people that used to listen to my show in Chicago.
Very good.
And have some of my old, now unfortunately, my old radio friends haven't done anything like the skateboarders.
Right.
They've not done anything that would make JFK management jittery.
No, there wouldn't be any jitters at all.
So I guarantee you that if I went to the jittery JFK management and said, hey, I want to do a show from the city that I used to broadcast to, they'd say, oh, get out of town.
Right.
Get out of here.
Right, exactly.
You worry about what's going on in Sacramento. Get out of it. Don't worry about
sure.
it. They're just, and they're jittery. They're jittery, and they're in the New York Post.
Would it be bad for me to request something?
What's that?
I just love New England, and I'd like to go up and do a show from New Hampshire, just for the heck of it. You know, I know we don't broadcast up there, but,
yeah, right.
You know, I just think we could talk about New Hampshire. I think that would be fun.
Okay, you got
it. Can we do that? But, and then maybe my hometown of Hartford, Connecticut.
See, here's the thing, though. You got to run it by the jittery general manager.
Mm-hmm.
And I wish from now in the future that they just... it's Alan Linewand. It's Alan Linewand.
He has a name.
It's not jittery JFK management. It's jittery Alan Linewand.
Hi, this is Alan Linewand. So anyway, oh, mio.
So anyway, it's all coming out today. Now this is just
things are back where they should be.
Well, I don't know. I don't necessarily know if that's correct or not. But either way, it's happened today.
Yeah.
The tide has turned. I'm gonna try my damnedest.
Hey, we'll be back on track.
Sure. My damnedest to get this.
You know, Don, I consider this taking care of a little business.
Well, yeah. You know, and actually, we had to because it's been goofy. And I just want to say that is that a phone message for me?
Yeah.
Oh, Grant Golden Shower Napier called. Please tell him I'll call him back.
Okay.
I'll call him back.
Yeah, I'd like to be a fly on the wall for that one.
Grant Golden. Rob, I bet this is a fake message.
You think that's a prank call?
I bet his middle name isn't Golden Shower.
GS.
I don't know. It might be.
GGS.
Who knows?
I don't know.
GGS Napier.
Golden Shower.
Is that what it really said on the message?
Yeah. Grant Golden Shower Napier.
Oh, that's great.
Now, here's what's funny.
Oh, what?
Is that all that stuff with Ron and Fez and, you know, God bless whatever they're doing, you know, yeah, good luck. They nothing happens. It gets written up in the newspaper, and nothing happens. And I'm not saying that anything should happen.
Right.
I'm only saying that I guarantee that us talking about all of this today, we're the guys that are going to get called in now.
Oh, we're going to get yelled at.
They're going to say, listen, I thought we had a deal.
Yeah.
I thought we had a deal that you guys were just going to just do the show.
Well, we do. And you know, but I think occasionally you still... You certainly knew that we would have an occasional discussion about some of the inner workings of this fine facility.
Listen, what can I say, Alan, if you're listening out there and you're obviously not in your office, the jittering continues.
Yes.
The jittering continues.
Jitter away.
We only mimic the behavior that we see.
We only talk about things if they seem curious to us. That's it. Because you know what? We have inquisitive minds.
But congratulations. I don't know about you, Alan. Now, why is he JIT?
For jittery.
Oh, JIT Linewand. JIT. JIT Linewand. You know, Robbie puts up a note.
Yeah.
Thanks to JIT Linewand. I like a JIT.
I like jitters better.
Yeah. Yeah.
Jitters Linewand. Makes him almost sound like a pool player.
Jittery.
Not a good one.
No.
Shakes. Okay. One question about the marshmallow things, and then we got to give away this trip to Australia. Hello, Don and Mike. Hello, are you calling about...
Hey, Mike.
...the marshmallow races?
Yes, sir.
Mike.
And Don.
Hi, Don. How are you?
Howdy.
Hey, Mike. The next sound you hear is the wind hitting my cell phone doing 70 miles an hour through Lattah, South Carolina, giving the cop a finger.
Why is he directing...
Maybe because you got a speeding ticket in South Carolina more than once.
Oh, I've gotten many in South Carolina.
Oh, that's for you, then.
I would also urge anyone... those would not be the state troopers that you would want to give an obscene gesture to.
No.
No, and you know, we've just been down there recently, and they got those cars that fake you out. Mm-hmm. They got like the Z28s, and you know, you drive past that, and you go, "There's some neck in that car." And the next thing you know, they got the thing, and you're pulled over. And
I went to friends of mine. I think it was a park police officer, a federal marshal, a DC cop, and a county cop. Four badges in the car, pulled over for speeding. shooting. They had four badges. The guy didn't let them off.
Wow.
The trooper in South Carolina did not let these guys off. And they were very happy about that.
Hello, Don and Mike. Last call here. Hello.
Hey, how you doing, Don?
We're doing very well, thanks.
Hey, my name's Tim, and I love your show. And I'm a skateboarder, man. You're killing me when you're calling them idiot skateboarders, man.
How old are you, Tim?
I'm 31.
Well, you're still younger than they are. Tim, you know, perhaps we'll have to come up with another catchphrase. Our apologies to Tony Hawk and all of the other skateboarders out there.
Thank you. Hey, I got another thing for you. That guy yesterday on the Dogma, he's a pro skateboarder too, the guy in the white suit. His name's Jason Lee.
Right from Dogma.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a prize for you, right there.
Oh, thanks. Hey, wait, he's got something else, guys.
Yeah.
See the movie Mallrats. He's in it, and it's freaking hilarious.
Mallrats
yeah.
is great.
Okay.
And listen, that's a good tip-in with Jason Lee. I should have remembered that. You won The Sopranos, the fourth season DVD box set with four audio commentaries. The Sopranos, now available on Divid and Vicious. So,
yeah, you're right.
Thank you. Thank you for listening.
Buzz rules! Buzz rules!
Thank you,
okay,
man.
Settle down, you know, dude, now.
Okay.
I like Linkin Park.
No, what were you going to say?
I was going to say today, you know, you still see an occasional Wow sticker around town, and I went by a guy today that was literally up to his third knuckle when I drove by it, and it just made me feel good when I saw this guy with the finger up his nose so far that he was like tickling his brainstem.
I've never shared this with you guys. I always take great pleasure in spotting a sticker like that every once in a blue moon and seeing who has it on his car.
No, it's fantastic. He was concentrating so hard that I think like the lawn care equipment in the trailer in back of it almost drove off the car.
I'm surprised you didn't pop his eyeball right out. Yeah, I mean, you got your finger. You got your finger up your nose. So there, boom. There
it was. I mean, it was really excavation.
Okay, guys. Guys, listen. A big lie.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's a trip for two to Sydney, Australia. That's way, way away from here. You're gonna lie to some it's an exotic trip. Courtesy of the TV show True Calling, tonight at 8, 7 Central on Fox. Have you ever thought, if I could just do that day over again, I would do it differently and change the outcome? Well, again, based on today's show, yes. That's True Calling, and that's tonight. Yes, it's a time machine show.
Yes,
it's like a time machine.
With a super hottie on it.
So it's tonight on Fox, and they've given us a 7-day, 6-night trip for two to Sydney, Australia.
They don't come much better than that.
That's a pretty kick-ass trip. And all we ask now is that you put down your can of Schlitz or Pabst, whatever it is you're enjoying right now.
You take the chaw out of your mouth.
For some of our more upscale listeners, the Bush beer, put it down. Go to a phone and call us at 877-365-3636. This is a prize that can be won from anybody living anywhere in America.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
They'll fly you from anywhere to Australia, the people at Fox. It's got to be if you've got a lie that you've never told anybody before. Like, there's a lie that you've never mentioned to a friend, to a coworker, to a loved one.
It helps if it's really been eating at you, if it's something that's lasted a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, we judge you on the quality and the entertainment value of your lies. And then the way you win the prize, you have to come clean, and we have to call the person that you're ready to come clean with.
And keep in mind, especially today, crap detectors are out.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
The jittery general manager has got the crap detectors out. So don't jerk our chains today. Just call with real lies that you'd really like to tell to real people.
You hear us? You hear us?
Okay. So call now. Everybody loves the big lie.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It's a great game, and we'll play it in just a moment.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I don't want to talk to you. You've made me mad today. Don't talk to me. It ain't been easy living with you all this time, the things that you've done to me. Trying to pick at my brain what little bit's left of it. Hey, look here. I'm not all the way crazy.
The Don and Mike Show. Have the best radio show on the radio, Don and Mike.
Right. Oh, yeah. All right, everybody. It's time for the big lie to give away a trip to Australia.
Oh, boy.
Let the games begin.
We hear ye.
This is the radio version of OxyContin. This is hillbilly heroin right now.
Yeah.
Throughout America, people call us. They tell us what the lie is.
Right.
We pick the best one. Then we call the person who was lied to. We confront them with it. The person lies, and then they win a trip to Australia.
Mm.
That means the lie has to be a really, really good one.
We got them on.
Let's start with a girl. Here's Teresa. Hi, Teresa.
Yeah, hi.
Hi, you're on the air. Hi.
Hi.
What's your big lie, honey?
The end of June this year, I had gastric bypass surgery.
Uh-huh.
And I told my husband I was having hernia repair.
That's sweet, actually. You just want to be tinier for your husband, is that it?
Yeah, and I knew if I told him it was gastric bypass, he would give me a lot of crap about it.
So you went and you had, what, your stomach stapled or whatever that thing is, that where they make your stomach smaller?
Right.
And you told him that you went in for?
Hernia repair.
And how much weight have you lost?
50 pounds.
Yeah.
How have you explained to him the fact that since you had your other surgery, you're only eating about a tater tot every day?
Well, because the hernia repair is like right in the middle of my, well, the gastric bypass, this.
Not sick enough. Not thick enough, honey.
And that really, I mean, if she's lost 50 pounds, the guy's probably going to be a little easier on her, you know? Mm-hmm. Why would you be mad?
Yeah, I don't know. If your wife...
Sorry. I think I know, Rob. Yes, if you were a sensitive, caring husband, you'd be worried about her health.
I agree, but why would you be mad?
No, I mean, it's what she wanted
to do.
It's
her decision,
no
right?
No reason, yeah.
Right. And as far as I...
You'll be sorry, Teresa.
That's 100% proven.
And
nothing ever goes wrong with that surgery.
No, you can't go wrong. And besides, maybe on her 50 pounds doesn't show.
So like, yeah, Al Roker.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. Who's to say that Al Roker didn't keep that a secret from his wife? You know, I can't tell you how many times I turn on the Today Show,
mm-hmm.
and I know that Al Roker's lost like 500 pounds.
Right. But he still looks fat.
He's still fat. Mm-hmm.
That's face. He's all face.
Yeah. He's all face.
That's
and
face.
I mean, he's not, doesn't seem to be getting smaller.
No, you know, that's
why is it, seriously, why, by this time, if it's gastric bypass surgery and you can have like 7 sips of soup for dinner, how come he doesn't look like Gregory Hines?
Well, Mike, Gregory Hines is dead.
Oh, that would be, he would look bad if he was.
Right.
Yeah.
But he also only has 7 sips of soup a day.
Here is Barbara, Don and Mike Show, The Big Lie. Hi, Barbara.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing very well, thanks. What is it that your husband doesn't know?
We started out as high school sweethearts and got married, and he is under the assumption that he is my first and only partner.
Go say it, our father. Don't worry about it, you whore.
And
see you later. Bye-bye. You whore.
How you doing?
I'm doing fine. That was funny. That was a funny line, you whore. You know, she's calling. Listen, she's calling with a simple lie. The husband thought that she was...
Exactly. It was
she's been with thousands of guys.
It was sarcasm.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Eddie.
Yo, what's up, Don and Mike?
Hi, Eddie. Oh, Mike, what, are you upset we haven't had any that made the cut yet?
No, well, Barbara's out, but, you know, I'm writing them all down, but I just wrote whore under Barbara.
Eddie.
Yo, what's up?
Hi, what's your big lie, my friend?
Well, before now my ex-wife was my wife, she had the suspicion that I had slept with her mother. And I
No, it doesn't count. Ex-wives don't count.
Disqualified. Hey, dude.
Brave man.
Once you're divorced, mm-hmm. I mean, like, anything that you did is okay. You get a pass on that.
Yeah, and I mean, if you're divorced and you're calling to say something hurtful, when you know, you don't have to live with the woman.
Right.
Right. Let's go to Jay in Reno. Jay.
No, he bailed.
Oh, okay. He must have been a liar. You know why?
Yeah, because the plot went down.
Well, I saw on the screen, burned down his parents' house. Mm. We always get at least one pyromaniac.
Yeah, and then you hear the mom go, "You did?
You did?" And hey, California, now that, from what I can discern, now that they think the fire, you know, the state of California is burning.
Yeah.
It's like the end of time. The entire state is burning, and they think it started because two guys... Like, set it.
Right.
That it's somehow... Don't you feel better now that you've got Arnold Schwarzenegger in charge?
Mm-hmm.
Don't you feel better now that you know that this wasn't just a random act of God?
Right.
It appears to be two guys on their own.
I still find it difficult to believe. I know they've found that these guys were responsible for some of these brush fires, but I still think that the finger of God shot out a lightning bolt down in California after the election was over.
But who's to say that God just didn't shoot the lightning bolt into these dumb guys' heads?
Right, and make them do it.
Yeah. Say, you know, set the state on fire.
Mysterious ways.
God, I am very upset. God, incidentally, also talks like Tarzan. Me upset.
Me
so mad. Me set state on fire.
And then the governor-elect so upset that he went to Las Vegas to the Mr. Olympia contest.
And he was here yesterday. He was in D.C.
Yes.
To meet with Dub.
Talking in to other lawmakers.
I love Don and Mike. What a joke that is. What a freaking joke that is. That's more ridiculous than Grant Napier.
Mm-hmm. Almost.
Golden showers. Hello, Don and Mike. That was a fake message. That wasn't a real message. Hello, Don and Mike.
Don, Mike, Buzz?
Yes, hi. You're on the air for the big lie.
Excellent.
What's your name?
Sean.
Hi, Sean. Hi, Sean.
Wow, I've listened to you guys since Wave. This is great. All right. My wife and I, back in 1997, we got married. We told her parents that we weren't married already, and they paid for a wedding.
Okay, Sean, listen, I don't even know what it was that you said, but I believe it was the tone and the cadence. You're just gone.
It's not thick enough.
It wasn't thick enough either, though.
Just gone. It was almost like a little kid calling, trying to make, you know, do you have Sir Walter Raleigh in a can?
Well, let him out.
Yeah, let him out. Hi, Don and Mike, hello.
Hello.
Hi, the big lie. Who's this?
This is Chris.
Chris, what's your big lie, my friend?
A couple years ago, my friends and I were making some mixed drinks, and I made them all in a blender. And there was mouse poop in it, and the friend asked, oh, did you clean it out? And I gave it to them, and they drank it.
How did mouse poop get in your blender?
It wasn't mine. It was my friend's. He had a dirty house.
He had a dirty house, and the vermin got in there, huh?
Yeah.
Well, I'm sure that they've passed. I'm sure it's passed.
Yeah. They're alive. Don't sweat it.
Cool.
Don and Mike show.
He
hello.
Feels better.
Yeah. See, there you get. It's almost like we talked earlier about this. You know, we're not Catholic anymore, but you know, when you're Catholic, you buy into this whole dumb system that you do whatever you do, and then you go sit in a booth and you say, "Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned." Mm-hmm. You know, I wish death on 8 people this week. And
right.
And he says, "Okay, say a Hail Mary, you're fine." Mm-hmm. And it's like you walk out, and it's like
you feel good.
It's like, you know, it's like punching a time clock. Oh. Ding.
And really, when you're thinking about it, a mouse poop and a good frozen daiquiri really. Ed Zing.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hello.
Zing, Sahib. Hi, Brian.
Yes.
Brian, what's your big lie?
Well, about 2 years ago, I took a friend of mine to a semi-formal instead of my girlfriend, and I told my girlfriend we were just friends, but I ended up sleeping with her anyway.
You know, infidelities are always tough.
Yeah, very, very tough, and it's kind of a mild infidelity, because we're talking about girlfriends and not wives.
And how long ago was that?
I live with my girlfriend now. We've been living together for about a year, but I've been with her for 3 years.
You know, if you want to kick that up a little bit, it would be you took your boyfriend to the...
Right. There you go again. Writing the script for our listeners.
I understand. I'm sorry, Don, giving him too much help.
Hello, Don and Mike show, the big lie.
Yes, Don and Mike.
Hi.
Hi, this is Jason.
Hi, Jason. What's your big lie?
My big lie, I got kicked out of the Army, and my father is under the impression I got out on a hardship.
You got out on a what?
A hardship. Like, there was problems back home, so that's how I got to come back home.
Uh-huh. Why did you really get out of the Army? Did they sit you down and give you the test, or what?
Yeah, I failed a urine out.
Yeah, they failed the urine
analysis.
Right. You didn't pass the test.
So what are you fixing to do right now?
I'm working back home.
Excuse me, Mike. That would be fixing.
Fixing. I apologize.
Yeah, you always put the G on. I know why you have to.
Now. Just call me a blue blood.
So what are you fixing to do?
Right now I'm just working my way through life.
So your dad thinks that you were discharged from the Army because...
Because my mother had a lot of illnesses, and so he thinks that's how I got out.
Yeah.
And
your mother has got illnesses?
Well, what illnesses does your mamo have?
She had a kidney and pancreas transplant about a year ago.
Uh-huh.
Because she had diabetes real bad. Oh. And then she lost vision in one of her eyes.
Mm. Would they really have let you out of the Army if your mother was deathly ill?
Yes, actually, my paperwork was going through before I got popped for the urinalysis. Yeah.
Do you know where Australia is?
Yes, I do.
Where? Where is it, sir?
It's in the southern, south, eastern hemisphere.
It's in the southern, south
eastern hemisphere.
Yeah, it's amusing, isn't it?
Yeah. All right, hold on a second.
Okay.
I mean, just because we're going to a break, we'll keep him.
And I know why you're keeping him. Because he'd just be fun to talk to again.
Yeah, I think so. G.I. Joe fighting man from head to toe.
There you go.
Failed the dope test.
Mm-hmm.
Got kicked out of the Army, lied to his dad. So this is only the beginning.
Uh-huh.
Now, Mike, we've thrown away. Who have we thrown
away? We've thrown away Teresa, Barbara, Eddie, Jay, Sean, Chris, Brian. But we kept Jason because it's in the south, southern, eastern hemisphere.
If you got a better one, phone number 877-365-3636. The prize is the trip to Australia. you, courtesy of Fox and the TV show True Calling. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Young lady, what do you want to do with your life?
I want to live in a van down by the river.
Well, you'll have plenty of time to live in a van down by the river when you're living in a van down by the river.
The Don and Mike Show.
Is anyone listening?
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Oh, what a hoot, and so totally refreshing.
Broadcasting in black and white as an infinity cost-cutting measure. The Don and Mike Show.
And don't forget, tomorrow is our annual Spooktacular.
Hallelujah.
And we have $1,000 we're giving away with the marshmallow races. You got to be here. 3 o'clock, the beginning of the show. First come, first serve. I think we've been over this, but just in case you're not familiar with this, what you want to do, we're giving away $1,000. You take a marshmallow and you put it in your...
Between two pillows.
Inside your, you know, your where food comes out. And,
hi, Charlie.
Hello, you have to be 21.
Oh, that's too bad. I was hoping the kids could play.
Yeah, well, maybe that's true.
So you got to be 21, and there will be a male competition. And hey, Charlie, we have the budget to do a male and a female competition, don't we, if we have enough girls show up?
Depends how much you want to have left later, but yeah.
Yeah, okay, yeah, I thought we might. Okay.
$1.
If we've got...
I thought I'd get myself involved in the decision-making process. Good for you.
If we've got enough girls, we can have a female competition and a male competition.
Right. The idea is not to let that marshmallow fall out when you're running the obstacle course.
Right, mm-hmm. And that course is through the hallways of the radio station.
Will there be any jumps?
I think what we've got, rather than jumps, is there are those pillars in the hallway.
Slalom.
That we've got lots of running around in circles three times, then going upstairs and downstairs.
Charlie's coming back. Charlie, why don't you stay in here while we're talking about this?
You know, we have to be careful about too much physical activity in case someone's a klutz and injures themselves.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, but it's the climate has changed.
Yes, it has.
We're all in here.
Yes, it has.
Hey, we're all in here. Fantastic.
But either way, we'll have a course tomorrow.
Correct.
And you can put the marshmallows either in the bad place, and if you're a girl, you can put it in the bad place and put it in your good place.
And you can put them under your two good things.
Absolutely. And that's tomorrow. We want to do this right at 3 o'clock. We want to start this at 3. This will be a contest that goes throughout the show.
It's a good thing.
And also tomorrow on the show, Joe Ardinger, OJ, that's his name in Pig Latin, Joe will be out doing his annual live Trick or Beer.
Hooray.
Okay, and Nancy might call any moment. Today might not be the best. Today might not be the best day for Jim Nance to call.
Not a good idea.
He might want to just pick the pros on hold for a week.
What if he has a lie?
Just put it on ice for the Lions.
There's one time I didn't eat my whole pickle and I told my mom I finished it.
Don and Mike, it's your old buddy Jim Nance from CBS. I've wanted to be a woman.
I've kept this under my hat for so long, guys. I've wanted to be Jemina. Jemina Nance.
When I sit on the...
Judy Nance.
Judy Nancy. Nance.
My radio buddies, Don and Mike, I've always wanted to be Judy.
Nancy Jimmy.
Nancy James.
Nancy James.
Yeah.
Nancy James.
Nancy James.
Nancy James. That's the winner.
Yeah. Nancy James.
Hi, this is Nancy James.
Our radio buddies, Don and Mike, like to say hi. I'm Nancy James.
Okay, let's get back to the big life. Today we're trying to give away the trip to Australia. Which, as we learned earlier, is south.
Right.
In the southern hemisphere, is that what the guy said?
Southeastern hemisphere. No, he said the south southern eastern hemisphere.
That's right. Okay.
I like to quote those people.
Here we go, Don and Mike Show. Let's get a winning call this time around. Jason, you're on playing the big lie for a fantastic prize, the vacation for two to Sydney, Australia, courtesy of Fox. And I got to whore this out for them.
Now, could this be our other Jason, or is this the south southern eastern hemisphere was Jason?
Hold on, Jason, is this the south southern hemisphere guy?
Yes.
All right, hold on a second.
Yes.
My mistake.
This is Jason.
Go to Travis. This trip, courtesy of Fox, watch the season premiere of True Calling tonight at 8/7 Central on Fox 5. Oh, and also for everybody in Sacramento and sports fans everywhere, and guys like me who just hate guys being overly pussy-whipped. We did have the count on that guy Doug Christie for the Sacramento Kings. Mm-hmm. He looked up, at least during the ESPN broadcast, and pointed at his wife at least 9 times during last night's game. We've had calls off the air from our listeners that were at Arco Arena last night. One guy actually counted 62 times.
There you go.
That he waved to his wife. So the Kings are on TV again Friday night. Watch for it. See what this pussy whip guy does. Apparently, even during a timeout, this is why you really got to watch the game. Right. Even during timeouts, when he's meeting with his teammates and stuff, he's not allowed to look out into the crowd.
Yeah, look down at his shoes.
His wife doesn't want him looking at any other woman.
God,
his
athletic footwear.
How pussy whipped.
Wow.
But we haven't forgotten about that. We were just moving on here. Now, Travis.
Donna Mike.
Travis Bickle. Where are you from, Travis?
I'm from Las Vegas.
Right on. All right, Travis, what's your big lie?
I've got a horrible lie I need to tell my father. When I was 16 and I just got my driver's license, I told him that the dog ran away because I left the gate open, and I really ran the dog over when I came home from work.
Mm. All right, always now, a little chuckle with run the dog over stories.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, let me just say, no crap detectors have gone off yet, Travis Bickle. You're talking to me? But the deal is that we always get a call about a dead dog.
Always.
We always get a call.
Or
a
cat.
And without being terribly graphic, well, what the hell? We're in a ratings period. Be graphic. Exactly how did you... What kind of a dog was it first?
It was a mutt, but it was my dad's favorite dog in the whole wide world.
Were you fond of the canine also?
I loved it. I was devastated myself, but sure. I was 16 and I didn't know how to deal with it. So what I did was I picked it up and tried to, like, you know, take it to the vet, but it died on the way there, so I took it back home.
Did you run it over, like, going forwards or going backwards or what?
Coming into the driveway, I did leave the gate open, but the dog was such a good dog. It was sitting on the porch waiting for somebody to come home and let it in.
Aww.
I'm coming up the driveway. It's nighttime. I didn't see it. It was a dark dog. Ran over the dog's chest area. Didn't know what I ran over. Backed up again. Ran over it twice.
When I came back home
with the dead dog, I didn't know what to do with it, so I buried it in the backyard. And to cover up the big mound of dirt that had been displaced, I planted a tree on top of the dog.
Wow. Rob, you too? Nice on that one, on that one little fact.
Which fact?
Planting a tree.
Planted the tree?
Would seem to be a too elaborate project.
Well, would the roots of the tree grab into the ground if they had to go around
the dog?
The dead dog.
Probably, yeah. You'd probably do that.
I'm serious. This is horrible.
It just sounds a little too movie plot-ish with the tree.
Is a 16-year-old going to do that or just hit a dumpster?
Right.
You know?
Oh, no, I couldn't do that to the dog. The dog was there for me when I grew up.
All right, so hold on. Just run me through this timeline again. You run over the family dog, the beloved pet. You go out in the backyard, dig a hole, bury the dog, plant a tree. Then your parents say, "Where's the dog?" You say, "I don't know, the dog ran away." "Oh, but listen, Dad, I planted a tree in the backyard."
Yeah, because I felt really bad that the dog had ran away. I couldn't tell your mom and dad,
now I don't know if I would do this in this situation, but your mom and dad never put the two and two together, the coincidence that the day the dog ran away was the same day that you dug a hole in the backyard and planted a tree.
Exactly.
They never at least made me feel that I was lying to them.
Do you think there's an outside shot that they might know that you killed the dog?
My dad to this day, you know, he still tells me, you know, you let my dog run away.
That's a very graphic question. Was there any blood on the driveway?
No, it was... It was like a crushing kind of run
over. Okay, I
mean, there was blood out of the nose, but not much.
Right. And what was the dog's name?
His name was Charlie.
Charlie.
You know, it's horrible because it's a very mellow lie. It's a very sweet lie. He cared about the dog. I'm still not buying it.
It's not really a sweet lie if it's true, because the guy ran a family dog.
But he was afraid, didn't want to do it. But I mean, I just don't buy it.
Get to know Charlie.
I do.
You ran over me. Let's keep him in. Let's keep him in.
Travis ran over the dog. We'll keep him on the list.
Even though crap detectors all over America are going off right now.
Very good.
Listen, folks, we understand this. We know this. This is why this is our motto. That's it. You know, if it's not true, trust me, we'll get to the bottom of it. There's no time that this guy's even going to play the game. But hold on, please.
Yeah, Travis should know that.
Hold on.
And Travis should know if we don't get you today, we'll get you tomorrow.
Hello, Travis. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hi, the big lie. Who's this?
It's Mark.
Mark, what's your big lie, my friend?
Well, it's been on my mind for about 15 years, and hasn't everyone killed a family dog at one point or another? But
Mark, you shouldn't diss your competition before you tell us your lie. Yeah.
All right. Well, yeah, maybe not. But I was about 10 years old, and I got a hold of my mother's mace, and I sprayed it all over the upstairs of my house, and they had to call hazmat and the fire trucks. And
you sprayed your mom's mace all over the house?
What's the lie?
Well, when they kicked us out of the house, they asked me if I knew anything about it, and of course I denied it.
Hey, well, that's great.
You're a smart guy. never mind.
You are a great caller. Who hasn't at some time sprayed mace inside their house?
Right, and had hazmat show
yeah.
up.
Yeah, I was going to hear what was the lie. Did he come up? He didn't even have the lie ready.
No, he didn't. Hello, no. he was a great guy. He was a smart guy.
Are a great
Don and Mike show.
Hi, how you doing?
Someday he will make a great jittery general manager. it's that kind of intestinal fortitude. Scott.
Hi, how you doing tonight?
We're doing very well, thanks, Scott. What's your big lie?
Well, my income tax came back in March, and I kind of took it out to Charlestown to the racetrack and blew it all. And I told my fiance they hadn't came yet, and she's been asking for the past 8 months now.
Okay. Listen, we get it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It hadn't came yet. So we're just going to move past that guy.
Yes, yeah, we get gambling stories constantly.
Uh-huh. We do. Here is, I hope it's a girl, named Lexi. Lexi.
Hi. My cousin and I just got out of this huge credit card debt, and the last couple of months I kind of ran it back up.
Okay, how much debt have you run up on the credit card?
About $2,500.
$2,500? What's the limit on the credit card?
I think five.
$5,000? So what are you worried about? See you later. Bye-bye.
Pretty normal.
It's called everybody's life.
Yes. Thank you, Lexi.
As far as I can tell, you got $2,500 more to go.
Absolutely.
So knock your socks off.
Go crazy. Designer out.
Now we are getting crap detector calls here. Huh. Hello, Don and Mike.
Hey, Don and Mike.
Hey, hold on just a second, please. Hey, Rob, pick that up and see if that's...
It is.
Is it Nancy?
It's Nancy James.
What are we going to do?
Well, see, the thing is, Nancy can't make it tomorrow.
Yeah. Right.
Why don't we... Jesus, and we're running out of time today. We should just can the picks this week.
Could you at least ask him if he believes the dog story?
All right. Rob. Hey, Nancy.
Hey, what are you guys? I hear you're trashing me. I got my sources out there.
No.
How are we trashing you, Jim?
You're knocking my picks today.
Knocking your picks?
No.
No? No, Jim, we discussed them the other day, and actually...
We just talked about the fact that we're playing a game called The Big Lie, and we were laughing about how it might be funny if the lie was that you wanted to be a woman.
Actually, when it comes down to the picks last week, Jimmy...
We are respecting you with your picks because you are doing well.
But, Jimmy...
Once again, the champion?
No, Jimmy, this is Don speaking. Last week,
Don's going to gloat now, Jim. Get ready.
Last week, Jimmy, I was 5-0.
That's impossible.
Not impossible. And furthermore, for the season, I now have a one-game lead over you.
What?
And only a two-game lead over Mike, who's only one game behind you.
What did I do last week?
Charlie, you got the stuff? Cause
I wish we had the weekly scores. I'm always telling Charlie to keep different scores.
You said yesterday he went 2-3. Jimmy, I got it. Thank you, buddy. Nancy, you went 2-3 last week.
That's hard to believe.
Yeah, it is.
That's just not like me.
No, it's not.
Hold on a second.
We can agree with that.
Jimmy, here's the deal. We know that you've got a tough schedule, and we appreciate the fact that you come on the show to pick the games. We're in the middle of something right now. And rather than go through the picks, let's put this week on hold. We'll give a plug to the Jim Nance charity, the
Three Amigos. Three Amigos.
I don't have to do that. I know you guys are busy gloating, so there's not time for picks.
But Jimmy, let's make a date to meet next week. Because I know that tomorrow you got some Super Bowl commitment or something tomorrow?
We do. We're working on an event down in Houston for the Super Bowl and an opening ceremony, and we're going to be tied up. But we'll do it next week.
Hey, Nancy, the great news is that Westwood One is sending us the Super Bowl this year, so that means we'll be able to rekindle the romance that we had at the Final Four with you.
Oh, my God. Oh, I can't wait. Now I just suddenly got excited about going to the Super Bowl. I wasn't before.
Now, Jim, let me ask you. Robbie had a great idea. Let me, just 1 second of your time. We're playing a game called The Big Lie.
Okay.
There's a guy on the phone named Travis. Hey, Travis? Hold on.
Yeah, that's a lie.
Hold on. No, I got him here. Hey, Travis?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, dude, where are you calling from? What city?
Las Vegas.
From Las Vegas. Okay. This is Jim Nance. As you know...
Jim Nance is an icon. Travis, you show him the proper respect, please.
Jim is...
Hey, Nancy.
Jim is a... Jim's a straight...
Yes, really taught him well.
He's one of ours.
Jim is a straight shooter. He's one of these guys who drinks a glass of milk and reads Field and Stream. I mean, he's a solid citizen.
Now, Travis, as you know, a lot of people are thinking, including myself, that this you might not be on the level with the lie you're talking about here. And we're gonna...
Yes. So briefly, Travis, tell Jim Nance from CBS Sports what your lie is, and then Jimmy, you just tell us if you believe what this guy is saying.
Okay. All right, okay. Well, briefly, my dad had a dog. It's a mutt. He had it for about 13 years, and I left it open when I got my my driver's license to go to work to get my pull my truck out. And, basically when I came home, the dog was waiting outside on the porch for somebody to let it in because it was such a good dog it wouldn't run away. But my dad didn't know that to let the gate open. So when I came home, I pulled up the driveway. It was a dark dog. I couldn't see it very well. Ran over it once. Didn't know what it was that I ran over. Backed up. Ran over it again. And basically, when I took it to the vet, it died on the way there.
All right, now get to the part where...
I brought it home, I buried it, and there was a big pile of dirt that had been disturbed. Didn't know what to do, panicked, went to Home Depot, bought a tree, planted it, told my dad that because I left the gate open, the dog ran away, I thought I'd do something nice and plant a lemon tree.
All right, Jim, do you believe him?
Yeah, no, that makes perfect sense to me.
There you go.
That's right.
Absolutely perfect sense.
Perfect. Right. Well, then listen, on that note, Jimmy, we'll watch you this weekend. 12 noon, everybody watch Nancy James on the NFL Today, CBS. And
you know what the worst part of this is? I got to wait a whole week to go back and regain the lead. You get to gloat for a whole week.
Yes, we do. It's a bye week because I am Nostradamus.
Yeah.
All right.
Hurt you, though.
All right, Jimmy, listen, check out Nancy's charity. Very worthy it is. I said that like Yoda. Three Amigos.
Very worthy it is.
Go to WJFK.com. And click on the Don and Mike icon. You'll see the lovely, startling beauty shot of Jim Nance.
That's right.
And then you click on that, it'll take you right to his charity. Jimmy,
Three Amigos.
Right. Thanks for checking in. We will see you next week, and have a great time in Houston.
Thank you, Mike and Don Stronomos. You be good now.
Thanks,
all right,
Jim.
Bye-bye.
See you guys.
Bye-bye.
There's Nancy. I'll say this about her. She's reliable.
You know, awfully nice for her to come on the show each. Faithful.
Every week.
I'm not as good as doing that at you. I start laughing all the time.
I have a question, and this is something we haven't raised yet. You planted this tree in the dark at nighttime?
Yes.
And you went to Home Depot to buy the tree?
Yes.
What kind of a tree was it?
It was a lemon tree.
A lemon
Very
tree.
Pretty. And the lemon flower is sweet.
Lemons.
This was out in California. I lived in California.
Right,
you
did.
All right, hold on a second, please.
Adds new luster to the wood.
Hello, crap detector guy. Crap detector guy? Mark.
Mark, you want to make a comment about Travis?
Mark, go ahead.
He's full of crap.
Why?
He says he pulled in the driveway and it was dark out and he couldn't see the dog because it was dark and the dog was dark color, but yet he seen the dog sitting on the porch.
Hold on.
Where the light was.
I agree. He's seen the dog sitting on the porch, probably with Doc Carr.
I don't know about you guys, but I'd like to hear this play out.
I think this is fantastic.
It's
a really...
cage match. Travis?
Yeah.
Defend yourself to this gentleman, Mark, who believes you're lying.
Speak to the
holler. All I've got to say is call my father and ask him about the dog and how much he loves him and see his reaction. That's all I've got to say.
You are from California, right? So you must be half Polish or something because you backed up after you ran over the dog. You backed over it?
Yes. I ran over it twice, and to this day, it still haunts me.
Okay. Of course.
Hey, you know,
all right, hold on.
I'm coming back on Travis a little bit.
Yeah, and here
I really am. I'm starting to believe him now.
Here's what I'm thinking. When he said, you call my dad, either he and his hillbilly father have worked up this little play drama.
Right.
Or this just might be true.
You know, oddly enough, what did it for me, lemon tree. I mean, no need to really be specific about the tree unless maybe you really did go out and grab yourself a little lemon tree.
I don't know.
What did you tell your folks about the tree, though? I mean, if it's your dad's yard.
Hold on, let me get him back. I think he answered that. He said that he did it because he felt bad about the dog being gone.
But, I mean, what did you tell your folks about the tree?
Here he is, Travis.
Travis, what did you tell your folks about the tree?
I told my folks, I mainly told my dad that I bought him a tree to spruce up the yard because I felt bad that I let the dog out and it ran away.
my father was so pissed at me, and I said, well, hey, I did something for you. I couldn't.
Well, now the question can be answered, though.
Mm-hmm.
We know who let the dog out. Dogs.
There you go.
Finally.
Who let the dog out?
Who let the dogs out?
Don't you think that was sort of fast turnaround if the dog had really only been missing for a couple hours that you felt you needed to do something?
I don't know. I did what I could.
Sometimes dogs come home, you know.
Yeah, they do, but this one...
I know he wasn't didn't. Because yeah. he was in a hole.
Yeah, yeah. Listen,
just seems that, you know...
Give us the timeline between the you running over the dog and going out and planting, burying the dog and planting the tree. How much time between you running over the dog,
yeah.
digging the hole,
and wait a minute,
planting the tree?
It was... I came home, I got off of work at 6. I worked at In-N-Out Burgers out in California. I came home at about 6:30. It was already dark. Ran over the dog, immediately jumped back into my truck after I found out that I ran over my dog. Took the freeway down to the only vet hospital
okay,
that I knew
Okay, not
about.
So much detail. Come on.
Just okay. how much time between
about
running
an hour
over...
after I ran over it, I was at Home Depot getting a tree.
And so it's obviously at night, and your folks weren't
my
home
dad,
at night?
My dad came home at 10 o'clock every night like clockwork.
Okay, hold
He's
on
good.
A second.
Mm-hmm.
We might just have to go with...
He's pretty good.
Just to find out if we're being BS'd
right.
or not. I mean, we might have a...
I'd like to make the call to the father just to hear what
yeah.
the father says.
Yeah. Mike, we got a house burner, though.
Really?
From Iowa.
Okay.
Jim?
Yeah?
Did you do a Talking Heads? Burning down the house!
Tell us your tale, Jim.
Okay. Back when I was a teenager, my folks, my mom and dad went on a camping trip down at a local gun club that they belonged to and left me in charge of watching the house and feeding the animals on the family farm there. And down
it's like I'm reliving my own childhood. How about
yeah.
you?
Me too. I
down
like
on the lower part of the property,
you
they
know,
had
Mon,
an old
Mon
house.
Powell went to the gun show
right.
and they left me at home with the critters.
Yeah, the camping trip.
Anyway. They were camping down there. I wasn't supposed to have any parties at the house, and I knew that they'd find out if I had a party at the house. So I took and had a party at the house on the lower portion of the property to where they wouldn't find out. Well, long story short, the house caught on fire down there, and it burnt to the ground. And I ended up painting profanities on the detached garage that was there.
Wait a minute.
To make it...
You
painted profanities on the garage to make it look like somebody was pissed off at my father because he wouldn't let motorcycle riders ride on our property. He kept cutting our barbed wire fences.
I believe this. Yeah.
Anyway,
it's a disco inferno.
I painted profanities on the detached garage.
Mike, it's a disco inferno, and it's also a charge of arson.
And burnt down his house.
I think, really?
No, because the house burned down accidentally.
Yeah, but the house burned down.
He made it look like arson.
Yeah,
right.
But can't you get in trouble for that?
Well, not if it's your dad's property. Is your dad's house?
Yes, it was my dad's house.
It was your dad's house, and did he rebuild it?
No. He ended up, he pushed the remainings of what it was down into the foundation.
The remaining
was just starting to finish the home.
Burn, baby, burn. You know, I like the guy with the dead dog better, I think.
I do.
But hold on a second, Jim.
And it raises the question of insurance fraud. Were any settlements made?
What's that?
What?
Right.
Did he get a check from the insurance company?
Oh, I just put the guy on hold. Hold on a second.
The remainings of it.
You would have to ask my father.
Jim, you don't know if your dad got any insurance money?
That's something you'd have to ask my father.
Why did the fire department come?
Yes, the fire department came.
Why have you waited this long?
If you knew my father, you'd know why I waited this long.
Well, then why do you want to tell him now?
Well, heck, I mean, I'm 42 years old now, and if I get a trip to Australia, what the hell?
I think this guy's credible. I believe
him.
All
right, hold on, but I'd still go with the other guy first,
mm-hmm.
Travis Bickle.
Ran over the dog just because we've been so through so much with Travis.
We're curious.
Hold on just a second.
I tell you, we got a couple of pissed off dads coming up.
We'll get a payoff on this when we come right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
That's right. I'm coming to your corporate headquarters. My plane gets in at 2, and we'll settle this deodorant thing face to face like men. What's your last name again, Phil? All right. I'll see you in 5 hours, Mr. Lacio.
The Don and Mike Show. They're guys. Don and Mike.
Right.
Hi, this is Fabio, wishing you a very happy Halloween.
There you go. Thank you. Thank you, Fabio. Big Halloween show tomorrow. Marshmallow races.
Come on down.
It's been 12 years since we did this. We only did one time, and people still talk about it 12 years later.
It's going to be big fun.
Marshmallow races, you know, where food comes out. And Joe Live Trick or Treat for beer. We're giving away $1,000, maybe $2,000 on tomorrow's show.
And, you know, the nice thing about that I forgot completely is that Joe was telling me about the fact that he's going to go tomorrow morning to get his special secret outfit that he'll be wearing tomorrow.
And it's been kept a secret from us.
That's very exciting.
Joe apparently has had some input. Camille, what are you calling for? Camille.
Hello. How are you?
Hi, we're doing... well, you didn't ask.
I'm sorry?
I thought you were going to say, how you doing? I'm so used to saying, we're doing well.
Right.
Oh, good. Do you really care
if we're doing well, Camille?
But she,
I really do.
You know,
are you guys doing well?
That was my fault. She didn't ask. I just offered.
People do that occasionally.
Good to know, though.
Are you guys doing well?
I'm fine. We're good.
I'm all right.
Good.
All right, Camille, are you calling with a lie?
I am not. I'm not lying, but I'm calling with a lie for my mom. Is that...
No, it doesn't work that way. It has to be your lie.
Sorry. Chris.
Yo.
Okay,
yeah.
I'll just tell you briefly what it says on the screen.
All right. Okay.
Jay out on a pizza and then fed it to his frat brothers.
Oh, wow.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right.
He said brother.
That's right.
Is there a particular... Is this a recent occurrence?
I'm 2 years out, so it's probably 3 years ago.
Was it a white pizza?
Hold on, we'll keep it, because I see we've got the Travis, who killed his family dog, allegedly.
Right.
Jim, who allegedly burned down the house. Mm-hmm. And we still have Jason, who got kicked out of the Army for passing the drug test.
Failing it.
And then failing it. And then we'll keep Chris, who alleges that he J-O'd on the pizza. Okay, so it's Travis first for the trip to Australia from Fox. Travis, your dad's name is?
Larry.
Larry, and we're going to let Larry know. You got to take it as soon as we get through to Larry, Travis. Okay?
Still there, Travis?
Yeah, I'm here.
What was the dog's name, Travis?
It was Charlie.
Charlie, that's right. We asked that already. I'm sorry.
Beloved Charlie.
Yeah. Beloved Charlie. All right.
Well, and Donna, you mentioned that Jason had the Army discharge. Chris with the pizza also had a dishonorable discharge. I credit Rob Spiewak when they're that funny.
Hello.
Crap. Hold on. Let me see.
It's a Vegas area code, right?
Dishonorable discharge.
Radio buddies.
Radio buddies. Nancy James.
Nancy James. I'm lovely. It's Nancy James. MJ with you. Yeah, you know, I'm not having any luck getting through on this 702.
702.
Right, okay, hold on. Watch me. 1-7-0-2-2-2. I think that's an 8.
Guarantee it.
I'm looking at Joe's handwriting.
Beautiful mind.
ABM. Oh, there you go. Hold on a second. Robbie, pick that up and get the dad's permission. What's and the dad's name again?
Larry.
Larry. Larry.
Hi, may I speak to Larry, please? Hi, Larry. How you doing? My name is Rob. I'm calling from the Don and Mike Radio Show.
Rob Stein.
This is Travis Fickle.
Travis on the phone with us. And he has won a contest, but in order for him to claim his prize, we need you to come on the air with us. Can you come on the radio with us for a second? Okay, hang on. Next voices you hear will be on the air.
Mm-hmm.
He's good.
Okay.
Very good.
Here we go. You ready, Travis?
Yeah.
Okay, everybody get your crap detectors out now.
Yes, we're ready.
Let's welcome to the Don and Mike Show.
The Don and Mike Show.
So you know you're on a radio show. Here's Larry. Hi, Larry.
Hi, Larry.
Hi.
Larry in beautiful Las Vegas. Larry, we have your son, Travis, on the phone with us.
Travis, say hi to your dad.
Hi, Dad.
Hi, Trav.
And Travis is a big winner playing a game on our show, a game called The Big Lie.
Travis has a lie that he wants to come clean with you, and... if we deem this all legitimate, he's going to win a prize.
Now, Travis, you must tell your father exactly the way you told us. Go ahead, tell your dad the big lie.
Okay, well, Dad, before I tell you, please know that it still kills me to this day, and I'm very, very sorry. But you know how when I was 16, Charlie ran away because I left the gate open?
Yeah.
And I planted a tree to show you that I was sorry? Well, I accidentally ran over Charlie twice.
Now, let me just say, I think you're going to have to slow down. And
suck it up, Travis. You're coming clean here.
You know, get this at your dad's speed. Your dad doesn't...
You ran over my dog?
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I did not mean to run him over. I didn't try to run him over. I left the gate open, and he sat on the porch just like a good dog. I know I told you he ran away, and you couldn't believe it, but I ran him over. And not just once, I backed over.
Is it me, or did the dad say you ran over my dog too quickly?
Is this for me? Yeah, I couldn't tell you I killed
the
dog.
Yeah, he said, you hit this for me?
I love that dog. I love the dog.
Yeah, I know I love the dog. I went around trying to find the goddamn dog for weeks.
I'm sorry, Dad.
The time you knew the dog was dead?
It's showtime at the Apollo.
Hey, Larry.
What kind of contest is this?
Let's let him go on for a second.
I'm going to win a trip to Sydney, Australia, and I'll take you with me.
You better do a hell of a lot more than that, boy.
That sounded dad.
I'm sorry, Dad.
I'm going to let him hang here for a second.
I got to go.
Well, now, this could be a strategy. Hey, sir, you can't hang up yet.
He's gone.
He did, though.
Oh, my God. I'm so dead. And I work for my dad.
You know, Travis?
Yeah.
Travis, we might have to, put this out to the judge, jury, and executioner.
You'd lose. I'll tell you right now, you'll lose.
It's hard to believe.
With our listeners, you'll lose, I promise.
It's your call, guys. I did my part.
Boy, what did I do?
This is tough.
Listen, everybody's... I might have to call him back.
Just unsure about Dad's reaction there.
Just to ask a couple of questions?
Yeah.
Just call him back. His name is Larry, right?
Right.
You know,
I feel so awful.
Hold on.
Right, Don's going to talk to Larry off the air. That's why we have to do it now.
Yeah. Larry. Larry, hey, it's Don from the Don and Mike Show. I'm one of the disc jockeys. You're not on the air right now. Boy, it sounds to me like the way you picked up the phone and answered it, that you've gotten over the shock and horror of your dog having been run over by your son. The guy, he says he has to run a business. I mean, he answered the phone. He could not have been perkier or happier when he answered the whatever the business is. He figured, you know, CSI.
Mm-hmm.
He picked the phone. Hey, listen, dude, are you guys lying to us? He killed your dog.
Ask him what kind of trees planted in the backyard when they lived in California.
Hey, Larry,
good
sir?
Question.
When you lived in California and your son planted the tree, what kind of tree was it? Lemon tree.
No hesitation.
No hesitation at all.
That's good.
Yeah. You listen.
What was the dog's name?
What was the dog's name? Charlie, he knew that.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, he very well could be listening. He's in Vegas.
Yeah. Now he's saying the son is 16 years old. Hey, I know you hung up. Would you come back on the air with it? Or he was 16 years old.
Right.
Would you come back on the air with us, Larry? Okay, all right. There you go. All right, he'll come back on. All right, here's Larry, the dad, again. Larry, you understand that I'm sorry to say this, sir. We are not trusting people on this show.
Yeah, when we do this game and we have people come clean about something, we always have a lot of people that try to deceive us on this, and we always like to make sure that whatever the person's coming clean about, that it's legitimate, and that's why we ask these questions of you.
Yeah.
And so you, this really all did happen, and when did it happen, Larry? When did it, I mean, what time of day did it happen?
Oh, no, hold on, I got a great question. Hold on.
Okay.
Travis, are you there?
Yeah.
All right, this would be traumatic. I'll ask both of you guys at the count of three to say the answer together. What month of the year did this tragedy occur in?
October.
One?
I'm sorry, my cell phone broke up.
Well, that's tough, though. I mean, to remember.
I would think you'd remember if it was, you know.
I mean, it was, but for the dad, it wasn't a specific time, you know.
Mm-hmm. Larry, really?
Hello?
You're not in on this. You're not in on this thing with your son just to get a free trip?
No.
So, Larry, would you be happy if we just gave your son a wonderful parting gift because we don't necessarily believe him?
I mean, whatever you guys want to do. I mean, I'm open.
No.
Now the dad just said something that would indicate
that
perhaps...
That's a lot of credibility right
now. That would indicate that perhaps this is on the level.
He doesn't think his son should get S.
Yeah.
I might agree with you there, sir.
Did you ever suspect this, Larry?
No. No, I mean he fessed up leaving the gate open and the dog getting out. I put up flyers and all kinds of stuff trying to find this dog.
I believe. Yeah. I do. I believe, Don. I really do.
Yeah. I have my doubts, but as much as... Let me bring Travis Bicklebrack back into the... hey, Travis?
Yeah.
Your dad seems credible, Travis.
He is.
He's going to kick my butt.
And you work for your dad now?
Yeah.
Maybe, yeah.
So what the hell is he doing following a radio show? You're supposed to be out working.
Well, I'm working.
That's what I'm doing. I'm putting a pump in a pool right now.
Okay.
All right.
You know what?
Yeah. Okay.
I believe.
Isn't a dog killer? Travis the dog killer?
Yeah.
Travis, you tragically killed Charlie and then buried him and planted a lemon tree. You bastard. You won a 6-night, 7-day trip for two to Sydney, Australia.
And you know what I'm going to do with it? I'm going to give it to my mom and dad.
Hey, that's good, Travis.
There you go.
Hey, Larry, I will tell you, we want to follow up on that if he really does give you the trip.
Okay.
The trip is courtesy of Fox and the season premiere of True Calling tonight, 8, 7 Central on Fox.
I'm a believer, Don.
Mm-hmm, me too.
I don't know if I'm ready.
I love your dad. I'll talk to you later.
All right. Goodbye, goodbye, Larry. Thanks for coming on the air with us.
Bye. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
You know, this would just be one of those things that people talk about for a long time on the show.
Yeah, when, you know, really, really no way of always policing it. But, you know, every now and then when somebody's really trying to pull a fast one, other listeners will let us in on that.
See, what we heard that you guys didn't hear was when the dad said, I don't care if you give him ass.
Right. That was very, and then I'm putting a pump in a pool.
Yeah, that convinced me.
Said it in a very dad way. So, Travis.
Yeah.
Congratulations, I guess.
Thank you, guys. Yeah. At least I feel better telling him.
Well, you do, and I believe that. And I hope it's true, Travis.
It is. I have no reason to lie to you guys. You bring me joy.
You have no reason to lie except a trip that's valued at $8,000.
It's going to him.
And it's going to him.
Going to him. Yeah. All right. Hold on, Travis. Hold on a second. And, of course, we have...
We can find out very clearly if Travis isn't going to use the trip.
Hello. Don and Mike.
Hey.
Here we go with some instant, right now,
feedback.
People are going to come back and tell us right away. They've already made their judgment. The jury is in.
Sure.
What do you say?
They were lying. They were lying. I have raised three boys, and I was sitting here thinking, I would have set it up the same way. The guy answered the question too quick. They don't even know what vet they went to. And if my boys had planted a tree in the backyard, I would have dug it up to see what they put there.
All right, old timer, thank you.
Thank you for your input.
See you later. Here you go.
I would have dug it up, see if there's a body in there.
Let's see. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Don.
Hey, who's this?
This is Hank.
Hey now.
Hey now.
All right, what do you think?
I actually think they're believable. I think it was true. I don't go just on the father's reaction. I think shock, anything can happen. I mean, the guy just found out his son actually killed his dog. You know what I mean?
Okay. Yeah. All right. Hold on. We're tied there. Hi, Don and Mike show.
Hey, that guy was lying.
Okay. What makes you think so?
Why, honey?
Well, two things. First of all, they said how well-behaved the dog was. It would wait by the door for somebody to let it in up on the porch. If it was that well-behaved, first of all, the dog wouldn't have ran away. The father wouldn't have believed that. And second, if the dog hung out in the porch, what the hell did he do? Drive up on the porch and run it off?
No, he said the dog ran out in front of the car.
Thank you for your enthusiasm, though. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, the dude was lying.
Why was he lying?
Because that was on Unsolved Mysteries, except some guy buried his wife in the backyard and planted a tree.
Well, I think there have been plenty of deaths where people plant a tree on top of it.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Speaking of, Rob, when are you and I going to the nursery?
It's almost lemon tree season.
Hello.
Not if you catch my drift.
Don and Mike show. Hello. I'll write it down for you later, bud.
Right,
I know you'll get it. You might want to come with us.
Okay.
Hello, Don and Mike.
Hi.
Hi there.
I have a way that Don and Mike can see if the dog is really under the tree.
How do you do
that?
Do you turn your radio up loud?
Turn your radio down. I went the other way. You said turn it up. Hello, Don and Mike. Anybody? Travis?
Bailed.
The guy's name was Travis. Hello, Don and Mike. Ferris. Hello.
Hey, guys. Hey.
Hey.
Hello?
Hey. Yes, hello.
Hello.
Did you ask them what kind of dog it was? I didn't hear you.
A mutt.
Yeah, mutt.
Oh, yeah, a mutt.
So, listen.
That's
what,
Eric.
So what is it? Believe him or not? Yes or no?
No, it's too generic.
It's too generic.
No, I thought there was a lot of specifics in there.
Yeah, I really did.
All right, thank you, though. See you later.
Bye-bye. But you know what's always nice, ladies and gentlemen, is that there's the possibility that sitting in a restaurant in Sydney, Australia, they'll be raising their glasses to what skilled liars they really were.
We fooled those bastards. Those jerk-offs.
But they entertained you, didn't they?
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Radio guy.
Hey, what do you think? Was the guy lying or not?
The guy was lying.
Everybody always loves saying, he's like, hey, we're gonna, you know, how can we complain? These
they
are
were lying.
These are our people. We've trained these people to not trust others.
Of course.
Okay, but why do you think he was lying?
Well, he said he came home at night. Then he drove around looking for a vet when the guy's dog died. And what did he do with the dog all night? Leave him in his car?
Probably.
No,
probably.
You missed part of the story. Yeah.
Okay, all right. Thank you, though. See you later.
And I never satisfied with that. Hey, I'm going away.
In a world where owning a radio was strictly forbidden, one man found a way to bring good news to his people.
That's me.
He made it up.
If you're a new listener to the show, we do that bit about twice a year, and that's the same way it goes every time.
I tell ye, my boy did it. I'd be taking up that tree. See what they got underneath.
Every time. Buzz, what is your lead story on the news and comments tonight?
Today, it's apparently easy to trick Britney into taking off her pants.
Hi, I like that.
Yeah. Hot dog.
Hot dog.
Hot dog.
Stay tuned. Sports news and comments.
Coming up on
the Don and Mike Show.
That was very
professional.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Ooh, Marilyn, listen, Halloween is coming, and it's time to get rid of those scary old phones. Switch to Singular and treat yourself to a new phone.
Ooh, very scary. Get the Sony Ericsson T226 free after a $20 mail-in rebate.
And get a free camera with attachment with a $50 rebate.
The Sony Ericsson T226 takes pictures and emails them instantly, and it's wireless internet capable.
You will love the picture caller ID and the downloadable polyphonic ringtones.
Hey, Don?
Michael.
I hear that it operates on GSM network.
Michael, it sure does. If you want a calling plan for your whole family, keep connected with Family Talk.
You can add a line to your calling plan for $9.99 per line per month. Plan starts just $39.99. Pay no roaming and no long distance.
Hey, how about that, huh? You can take a picture of your dead dog.
Yep.
With this phone, go to singular.com, singular 1866 singular. Go to any Singular wireless store in the area. Tell them that Don and Mike sent you.
Service restrictions apply. See any Singular wireless store for details. Ooh, scary commercial.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
No, they're not retarded. Don Geronimo and Michael Mara.
No, he's not retarded.
No, we're not. It's time for Buzz's news show. Buzz News and Comments brought to you by Verimax Sexual Pleasure Performance Enhancer. It's doctor developed.
Someone called for a doctor?
Clinically tested Verimax works. Get it at Rite Aid, GNC, other retailers. Verimax 1-AAA Tri-V-Max. We got one person. I was just in conference with the law firm of Arninger, Broyhill, and
Spiewak.
No, Spiewak was not in on the conference.
Wasn't it also Ephraim?
Yeah, that was it. Anyway, they got somebody on the phone here to get back to the big lie.
Okay,
just want to ask Travis a real quick question, and then we have a lady on the phone who had I thought a very good point.
Very good,
Travis.
Yeah,
thanks for coming back on the air with us.
Okay.
How long ago did this, I don't know if we asked you, how long ago did this whole thing happen with the dog?
I was 16, so about 7 years ago. I'm 23 now.
Mm-hmm. 7 years ago. All right, well, see, that kind of, hold on, that kind of blows this lady's theory. Kathy?
Okay, yeah, well, then, okay, he could be right. I thought he said at the beginning, he said it was 15 years ago, is what I thought he said.
And Kathy's point was that there was no Home Depot 15 years ago.
Ah, very good. Good sleuthing, but obviously it was a shorter time frame.
Right? Kathy?
And he had no reason. We didn't tip him off to what we were asking him.
No, we did not. Kathy, listen.
But I got to say hi to you guys. So that
oh, that's sweet.
And
nice.
Kathy, please enjoy The Sopranos, a fourth season DVD box set with four audio commentaries. The Sopranos, fourth season, now on Dividend Vicious. And thank you, Kathy, for trying.
Oh, thank you. That was sweet.
Thank you. And Travis, well, what can I say? Either you're a big winner or you're O.J. Simpson.
No, I'm not O.J. Travis,
I do believe you. I hope I hope you can recover from this.
Thank you. I'm on the road to recovery right now.
Very good.
I bet you are. That road leads to the airport, which leads to the airplane, which takes you to Australia. All right, hold on, Travis.
Send him his folks.
Thank you, my friend. Here is our friend Buzz. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, Don and Mike. Britney Spears has a lot to say, and a lot of it's amusing. At first, she says she's sorry she got so naked in Rolling Stone and Esquire. She says the folks at Esquire actually tricked her into posing without pants.
Really?
Yeah. She'll apparently talk about anything. She tells a British magazine. Tells a British magazine she cries. Cries when it's that time of the month.
See.
As for Beyonce, it's just fascinating the things that come out of this girl's mouth. Mm-hmm. As for Beyonce dissing the kissing between Britney and Madonna, there's no love lost there. Britney says that when she goes to dance clubs, where she also seems to have trouble staying dressed, she asks the DJ not to play anything by Beyonce or Justin Timberlake. Remember, her initials are BS.
Hey, Buzz!
It's been over a year since Rosie O'Donnell's magazine folded and the battle with her publishers.
Hi, Rosie.
Just now going to court.
Dad.
The multi-million-dollar trial started today in New York, with each side blaming the other for the magazine's demise.
Boy, does my ass itch.
Well, then, scratch it.
It's the outside.
You don't have an itchy eye.
No, look, Robin's ears are
on the outside.
Just right on
the elastic.
Yeah. Rob, why did you look? Why did you look like that?
My God.
I didn't have my hand in my... I'm on the outside.
But attorney leaned over to look at you scratch your ass.
Well, I asked him to.
So did I, actually.
It was just right here, just right by the pocket on Levi's.
It?
It's on the pocket.
Sure. Show me.
Since when is it a crime? Since when is it a crime to do what you're told? In fact,
I just want to do an ounce. It's gone now.
Mm-hmm.
But there was an itch there.
Oh, good.
That should be gone.
There you go.
God damn.
The magazine Rosie was known as McCall's until Rosie arrived, and it was about to fold then. Rosie revived it, but she claims she got squeezed out of the organization. The publisher says she walked out. Once Rosie was gone, the magazine did collapse. The publishers
collapsed under her weight.
We have a comment from Rosie O'Donnell, I believe.
Rosie.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
as you can hear,
she's looking forward to the trial.
She is very upset.
Very.
She is. Now, Rosie, you might want to wait to go on the record with this with these type of allegations.
Yeah.
Save it for the trial.
Rosie.
Can't contain her. See?
She pleads not solid.
Thank you. The publisher is suing her for $100 million. And she's suing them back for $125 million. The former talk show host is now producing a musical with Boy George.
How's that sound?
And that's very stressful.
You try
working with Boy George. You try saying, do it like this. You know what you do? And after he says, no, by luck, you go, oh. Christ, I gotta deal with Boy George, and I gotta go to court for my magazine. Jesus. It's not easy being Rosie O'Donnell.
Oh, my God.
Oh, God.
Oh, Rosie. Yeah.
When you go deep into this one, it gets better. I got news for you. The funnier it is, the longer it goes.
Hey, Rosie?
Rosie.
Oh, now, you know, that's bad. Yeah. This woman is upset.
Sure, mm-hmm. Very.
How's your hand, honey? You know, she got the bad hand.
Still hurts a little, huh? Oh, man. Missed that TV show, Rosie?
Hold on, what was that, Mike? You got a question?
I just wanted to ask her if she missed her TV show. Oh. Did you really?
Not that much.
Oh, hold on. A little.
Ooh.
Hey.
I think that's John McDee.
Last thing, if I could just tell you, it's not a question, comment. I love that Hitler haircut. You know that butchy, dykey Hitler haircut you've got, Rosie? Yeah, I know. It's super.
It take a long time to style, Rosie? Oh, thank you.
Pretty quick.
Yeah.
Rosie O'Donnell.
Wash it and go.
Rosie? See, this is her comedic style, Mike. It's her cadence.
It's all about timing.
Yeah. That she knows when there's a lull in our conversation,
right.
She jumps right. There she is.
Sometimes she interrupts, too. Yes. Like right there.
Rosie? Yeah. Well, it's always good talking to you.
Nice talking to you.
She wants a final message to her fans.
Okay.
Rosie O'Donnell. Is that still the greatest thing about having a radio show?
Man, the best. Absolutely.
That never gets old.
It really doesn't. You know, and you'll be 99 years old, and if we both make it that long, we'll still be laughing at this.
Miss O'Donnell? Doesn't just work with her either.
Right.
Let's check in with jittery general manager Alan Linewan.
Really?
Alan, how's the day-to-day stress around this place going? Oh.
He's a little bound up.
Not good.
Come on, Alan. Breathe.
Alan?
Breathe.
Alan? Alan, do you mind the fact that we're calling you... Alan, can you hear... We're calling you the jittery general manager. Alan? See, he has a decidedly more male response than Rosie O'Donnell.
Well,
does.
A little less relaxed.
Alan?
Oh, thank you.
You're gone.
It's almost time for the November sweeps for TV ratings. It's one of the 3 months out of the year that networks pretend to care about the viewers. They do this mostly by avoiding reruns and slamming us with specials and special appearances and very special episodes. CBS has the Ronald Reagan movie, a Robert Blake interview, the Victoria's Secret fashion show, and...
Oh, did you say Victoria's Secret?
Oh, yeah.
Excuse me.
Hello.
Keep it handy. Excuse me.
Keep it handy for the Andy Griffith reunion.
Oh. Yeah. Okay. Evacuation time.
Along with the network's 75th anniversary show, there'll be a CSI episode.
Did you say block?
Jeez.
Oh!
Plushies! Plushies, not flushies.
Oh, sorry.
Fox will regale us with a special edition of Cops focusing on naked perps. And Fox will warm our hearts with an American Idol Christmas special.
Oh.
Hey, Ruben.
Clay Aiken. Oh, I love Clay Aiken. And look, Mike.
Yeah.
It's Ryan Seacrest.
Gathered around the U-log.
Yeah. Oh, I love that show. I love Christmas. Happy holidays.
And I'm spent. Almost.
You can keep the change. There you go. There you go.
ABC has a Britney Spears special, a Martha Stewart interview, a Kennedy assassination special, and James Garner joins the cast of Eight Simple Rules.
Well, how'd it do?
On NBC, Queer Eye, a Justin Timberlake special, a Jessica Lynch movie, and a Shania Twain concert. Stone Cold Steve Austin has a special on UPN. That's what you can look forward to in the November sweep.
Hey, well, sounds like garbage.
That sounds like it sucks. I've seen the ads for the CBS show, which appear to be a copy of the ABC show for their 50th show. And isn't it odd that the Tiffany Network, CBS, with the great history that they have in all the promos,
right?
The only people you see are from CSI and Raymond.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think they throw in like an I Love Lucy clip.
Yeah, that's about it. Mm-hmm. That's all they got.
But what about, the greatest time of CBS really would be, any time with CBS.
Well, wasn't CBS All in the Family?
Yes.
Mary Tyler Moore?
Yes. The greatest time of CBS was when they were the Beverly Hillbillies,
mm-hmm.
Green Acres,
mm-hmm.
and no, really, they were number one in the ratings.
Yeah, I know.
Gunsmoke.
And some dummy went in and said... Well, now, we don't want to be the network associated with Green Acres.
Yeah, with hillbillies.
The network president's wife didn't like her friends ribbing her about all the rural programming on CBS, so they dumped those shows.
They dumped those shows.
Right.
And now they've got, let's just check out that CBS lineup tonight.
What can you look forward to tonight?
Yeah. Well, tonight, I'll tell you.
Thursday night.
Thursday night, you've got your Survivor.
Mm-hmm.
Then you've got your CSI.
Right.
And then you've got your Without a Trace.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's some great viewing. They're pulling it together tonight on CBS.
Mm-hmm.
That's a strong night.
Hello.
Oh, my God. What am I going to do, though? Will and Grace arrives at 8:43.
Man.
Will tries to cheer up a depressed Leo by showing him the best things New York has to offer.
Oh, super.
Now, why do they start Will and Grace at 8:43? I'm not going to be able to see who's cut out of Survivor.
That's how they trick you.
Supersized Friends.
I believe that's actually a floating schedule because we've been running a commercial saying that the plot of Will and Grace is a gay spelling bee. So, I don't know. Don't call me during Will and Grace.
A gay spelling bee.
It's a four-letter word.
Can anyone say steal the idea?
The four-letter word and starts with an A.
I'm in.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
So to speak. The panel is right.
And hey, listen, shame on you.
Right.
The word was auto.
Thank you very much.
Auto, because gays deserve to drive automobiles, just like straight folk. The word was auto.
Word to your mother.
And those were people who thought it was that.
Oh, wow.
That makes us unhappy.
We need a mop.
Buzz?
Yes.
Are you still there?
I'm here.
I can barely see you, Buzz.
A periscope.
It's a cloud. We got to do this.
Okay.
We've been doing so much of that. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
They will do you well, Don and Mike.
All right, now listen, my friends. Tomorrow is All Hallows Eve.
Oh, boy.
And tomorrow on the show, it's only been 12 years since we've done this, marshmallow races.
Hallelujah.
Because, you know, what kids don't love marshmallows at Halloween?
Right.
I know it's a stretch, but it's the best we could come up with.
Especially pumpkin colored.
We're going to have a male and female category with a cash prize of $1,000 for the male winner, $1,000 for the female winner.
That's serious money.
You got to be down here at WJFK in Douglas Fairfax. Be here at 3. Be here before 3. So you want to start this in the first break. We'll have a course in the radio station,
right?
An obstacle course, and what you want to do is you take a marshmallow and you put it in your duke, you know, where food comes out
between two pillows, right?
And then what you do is you run this obstacle course as fast as you can the whole time, making sure that the marshmallow never leaves its protective pillow space.
And you produce the marshmallow at the end of the obstacle course. We give you your time, and you wait and see if the $1,000 can be yours.
Now that's for the guys. For girls, you will get extra time if you perform topless.
Mm-hmm.
If you put the marshmallow in, and you get panties and shorts, but you're topless as you run the course. There is one update that we've not run by the jittery general manager yet.
Oh.
But we're having a discussion in the back room when I was talking with the law firm of Ardinger and Broyhill.
Right.
Broyhill said that while the lawyers will not let us have people eat the marshmallows after they've been in between two pillows,
right,
that he does believe that we would have some type of legal leg to stand on, pardon the pun, if the women did want to eat the marshmallows that were in their special places.
Oh.
Because with the women,
go figure.
Yeah. With the women, we are giving them the option. It's a two-hole option for women. You can put it delicately. Yes, you could play with the marshmallow race while carrying two marshmallows in two separate orifices.
You know, on The Price is Right, they have that game Hole in One or Two.
Yes, that's right. So it could be Hole in Two and maybe four. Well, not four holes. You can put one under each breast.
And I'm back there with Charlie, and he says, you know, and this is how ridiculous our business is. He says, seriously to me, he says, I'm going to have to call the attorney tomorrow, but I think that the chance of disease is much smaller if you eat it from your pee.
I would think so.
Yeah. Than if you eat it from your A.
Oh.
Talking about for girls.
Right.
It's all fun. For girls. So that's tomorrow.
Oh, boy.
Again, here at 3 o'clock, cash prize, $1,000 men, $1,000 women, marshmallow races tomorrow here inside the radio station. Plus tomorrow, Joe Ardinger, the world's oldest phone screener, will be doing his annual bit on the show, Trick or Beer.
All right.
And that's always great to listen to. And now here's Buzz.
Hi, Donald. Mike, this is a fun story. The Fox Network has decided not to sue itself. The way Simpsons creator Matt Groening tells it, the network considered that very thing. In an upcoming episode, the cartoon makes fun of Fox News with a fake news ticker crawling across the bottom of the screen.
You know, they've done this bit before on The Simpsons, though.
Well, they're doing it again. And then now, this time, it really bothered Fox News executives.
Yeah.
They claim to have a policy against anything fake that might confuse viewers into thinking it's real news.
Oh, come on.
They threatened to sue. Fox News was going to sue The Simpsons and, I guess, the Fox Network.
Wow.
But, you know,
Fox.
Here's what the fake news crawl says, and I quote, pointless news crawls up 37%. Do Democrats cause cancer? Find out at FoxNews.com. Rupert Murdoch, terrific dancer.
That's great. God love him.
Dow down 5,000 points. Study, 92% of Democrats are gay. JFK posthumously joins Republican Party. Oil slicks found to keep seals young, supple.
You know what? That show still delivers. You know, yeah. I'm going back to it. It's been a while.
Oh, not great. Only is that funny, but that if they do it like they did the last time they did it,
right?
It's running on the bottom of the screen, and it's going by at a very fast clip, and you're trying to keep up with it, but at the same time, it's like when Homer's taking his shirt off or something.
Other stuff.
So it's like you're concentrating on that, but then you read on the crawl, it was just, the last time they did it, it was something about Rupert Murdoch being involved in some scandal.
I mean, you know, the greatest thing in the world is to poke fun at the place where you work.
That's right.
I mean, I think we've known that for a number of years.
Exactly.
Right here, a jittery JFK.
Well, finally, it's been a rough 20.
And wobbly Westwood One.
There you go. It's been a rough 24 hours for security people. Here in Washington today, Congress had to take a 30-minute break while SWAT teams looked for a man with a gun. A gun was spotted on an X-ray machine at the entrance, but by the time that was noticed, the person who had it in their bag was long gone.
Yeah, remember also by the time that was noticed.
Yeah.
That'll be an interesting detail when this gets a little...
There will be an investigation.
Yeah.
Officials then searched for a man with a gun and his female accomplice. It turns out they were both women. There was no man. Both women worked in the building, and they'd come to work in Halloween costumes. The gun was a plastic toy.
Like we were saying earlier, I'm sorry, we got to get here. You should have seen the hubbub on all the TV stations.
Oh, they were absolutely crazy. They went nuts.
Know, breaking news, gunman, you know, and it was just Halloween.
And in West Palm Beach yesterday, security stopped a guy armed with pipes and wires and radios and cell phones. Turns out it was his Ghostbusters costume. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, that's a funny one.
No!
You got me. What kind of tool's going to dress as a Ghostbuster now anyway?
Unbelievable.
How many years ago was that movie out?
I know.
Ghostbuster. Still popular.
19 years ago.
We're going to need the song for tomorrow, though.
Oh, got it.
Because I love doing that thing where you go, it goes, do 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 do. Who are you going to call?
Rob Stewart.
Yeah.
And tomorrow, Joe's going to be in costume.
Yeah, Joe will surprise you with his costume. That's it. We got to go. We'll try to do better tomorrow. Good luck. Good day to you, sir.
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 Thanks, Bill. Good day to you, sir.
I'll return your shovel right after I plant my tree.
Okay.
DM
Eaters.
Till we meet again, this is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.